Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 327, recorded November 13th, 2011. I shot the Schwood, but I did not shoot the JCB. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Download the free GoToMyPC app and work from anywhere, anytime, right from your iPad. And to enter to win a free iPad, send a tweet with the hashtag TWITFreeiPad now through November 23rd. Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial and use the promo code TWIT. And by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continual, and unlimited backup for your computer files, only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT to get two free bonus months. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 20% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com, use the offer code TWIT11. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech, and we are going to cover the week's tech news with a massively beautiful, wonderful panel of middle-aged white men. What can I say? starting with Brian Brushman. You're not quite middle-aged.
You know, somebody said this was a sausage party. I thought they were talking about the catering.
Yeah, well, that too. We are having a barbecue now, and there are sausages. Schwood is in town for our new gaming show, which we're going to kind of beta test after the show. But he's also the host of so many other shows, including Scam School on Revision 3, and our great NSFW show, which
absolutely. Yeah, just crossed over 100 episodes. That was a lot of fun. Had you on as a guest.
That was
so
fun.
If you want to see Leo even goofier than usual.
Spider Belmont almost killed me.
New show. That's right.
We can't bother Veronica. She's in the studio, but she's writing her novel.
Is she really writing during the show?
She's writing her novel.
When there's a scene about middle-aged white people talking about tech, we'll know where this came from.
I said, look, help us. We need a female. We need some diversity on the panel. She said, I can't. I'm writing my novel. She's doing NaNoWriMo, right? This is the November... Yes.
National Novel Writing Month.
Yeah. There he is, a novel writer himself. Tom Merritt.
Yeah.
Multiple novels.
Tom's writing his seventh novel this month.
Yeah. Tom does NaNoWriMo every year.
None of them any good.
Every year, don't you?
Yeah. I try it every year. I've finished it twice. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm on track again.
Tom is the host of TNT, of course, on the TWiT Network. Every day, our daily fix of tech news at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. Boiling Point, was that a NaNoWriMo?
That was just
your first novel.
Yeah, that was just me.
And you just had a reading.
United Moon Colonies I did as a National Novel Writing Month, and I read, that was the one I read.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You live streamed it, too. That was a lot of fun.
Tony Wang, actually, from TWiT came out.
I'm so glad you did that.
Yeah,
I apologize for missing it. I lost track of it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
It looked like it was fun.
It was good.
It looked like everyone was dressed in Edwardian fashion.
Yeah, and snapping as a, you know.
Do they?
Like a people.
Edwardian beatniks.
Patrick Norton is here, my buddy from the Screensavers. Of course, he hosts TechZilla with Veronica at TechZilla.com. Good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Pleasure to be here.
Patrick has been very abstemious. He didn't try the... I do that for John. Because there's meat outside, and you avoided the meat because you didn't want to have little bits of flesh in your teeth.
Well, there's nothing worse than you looking towards me,
look
turning
like an
white,
orc.
And, like, you know, running for a... bucket.
Anyway, but I hope before you leave, you'll have some.
I will be glad to eat.
We are having a wonderful barbecue. I'll tell you about that in a second, but first, John C. Dvorak, who we did not expect today.
I'm telling you, I confirmed.
I'm glad you did. We're glad you're here. This is a wonderful panel. Good to have you all. ChannelDvorak.com. And he's also the host of No Agenda Show at NoAgendaShow.com. And I just gave you some No Agenda playing cards.
Yes, which concerns me deeply because...
You don't know about them.
No.
It's got
maybe
your picture.
Maybe somebody sent me a note, but I never got the cards. And you have the cards.
This is your way of saying you've already texted your lawyer, and your lawyer's contacting the game.
No, actually, our show is open source.
It's open source. You're allowed to do this. Look, there's John C. Dvorak. He's Buzzkill. There's Crackpot. Adam Curry. And then these are all No Agenda album art cards, and there's a whole game associated with it that actually looks pretty fun. Maybe later we could play for 3 to 8 players.
Yeah, we should play it. That would really liven the show up.
Go fish. I don't think you say go fish. You say karma.
Karma, yeah.
Anyway, no, I'll give these to you. I don't know where they came from. They just appeared one day.
I'm sure we'll find out.
I thought it was a bar of soap. I opened it. When it wasn't, I almost threw it away. So it's a good thing that I
saved it. You need soap? You're looking for soap?
I was
going to keep the soap.
Free soap, I thought. You know, what could I have?
Okay, for a shower in the morning.
You've got a shower.
Anyway, we are having a barbecue and want to thank everybody who came from, frankly, all over the Bay Area. It's really nice to have you all. Who came here for the farthest, though? Somebody's here from Israel, I believe.
Oh, yeah, wow.
There you go. All He's from Israel.
You came all the way specifically for the show from Israel?
No. He's actually a developer. He writes mobile applications. What's the name of it?
CarBuzz.
Have you ever seen CarBuzz?
CarBuzz?
You would actually like CarBuzz.
I'd like CarBuzzKill.
Yeah, you're BuzzKill, but CarBuzz is the app on Android, iPhone. You should take a look at it.
What does it do?
It's a magazine, like a car magazine.
Oh.
On app. Who else? Anybody from anywhere else from outside the U.S.?
Or just outside of California?
Mostly local because it was, you know, it's a barbecue and we wanted people who would be nearby. We got a great caterer out front. We've got a jumpy jump. We've got tents. We took over the street.
You did? You get a permit for that?
Yeah, we did. We paid a Petaluma Police Department.
Hmm. Paid the bribe?
No, it's not a bribe. I believe there's a process that you go through.
It's called permitting, Tom. Much of the construction of my house was not permitted.
This is all... perish the thought.
No.
Permitted. Everything permitted. And if you notice, I'm wearing a purple armband. That's not a style statement. That's actually so I can eat meat. If you don't have, you all have the purple.
But that's just
you're wearing that healthy thing. What's that?
Oh, this is the up, the jawbone up.
The up. How do you like it?
I was hoping you'd notice.
What is this?
It's like you got engaged.
John, this is cool. This is really.
It's like a Fitbit, only more annoying.
Yeah.
And by the way,
John, you know how Livestrong? Everybody was wearing the Livestrong. You remember this day, the first time you saw this thing in a year. Everybody's going
to
be wearing it.
Have you had to recharge it yet? Because there's been a lot of talk on Twitter that the first time you recharge it, it dies.
No, I have recharged it several times.
Okay.
So maybe they got a bad one. This is from Jawbone. Those guys do the Bluetooth. Here, I'll show you. The Bluetooth...
headsets.
Headsets, yeah. And this is not Bluetooth. In fact, it's kind of weird. The way it works is you have to have an iPhone. There's no point in having it if you don't have an iPhone. It uses the audio jack on the iPhone. But it comes with a USB charger that plugs into that. Hmm. So you plug that into your computer. It charges very quickly. It goes about six days.
What does it do?
It is a pedometer in its basest form. Pedometer. You know who made the technology in here? It's called Motion X.
Mm-hmm.
Philippe Kahn.
Yeah. Oh, he's doing something.
Philippe's amazing. So Philippe Kahn, you all remember. Maybe you don't. From Borland, right?
Yeah.
He wrote Turbo Pascal, and which transformed an industry. By the way, I just saw a page. Do you remember Turbo? You're too young.
No.
Do you remember Turbo Pascal?
Yeah. He's 3 years older than me.
No, I had the...
is he really?
I think so.
I just feel like you're so young. Maybe it's the spiky hair.
I'm clearly compensating for my age. You don't notice my crow's feet when you're busy staring at
the... the beard, we'll see the gray.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, actually, he's got a gray beard. Wow. So,
but the thing that excites me the most is that not only it's a pedometer, it's got an accelerometer. So if you're riding a bike or running, it tracks all of that stuff.
I don't know how well a pedometer on your wrist is going to work, to be honest with you. So that'll remain to be seen how accurate that is.
But it also tracks how well you sleep and how much you move around.
So you push a button on here. This is the button, and set when you're going to go to sleep. You say I'm in sleep mode, and then it will pull up. I should show you. I have it on my iPhone. I can show you what it looks like. The app, which is free, is called Up. The device is called Up. It's from Jawbone.
It's wireless.
$100. Well, pay no attention to that Scrabble game.
I covered it.
I don't want you to see how dumb I am. So this is my activity. I've had 1,136 steps today. This is how many miles I went. This is how many. Oh, actually. Yeah. Oh, no, that's not today. That's this afternoon. So this is a graph. That's the food I eat. You take pictures of your food. But here's my sleep cycle. Let's tap that. So the orange is awake. The light blue is light sleep. And the dark blue is the REM sleep that you want. And you can see I only got 74% sleep quality. This Fitbit does this, too.
So now when you like, do you have any memory of these moments that it says that you're awake?
I don't remember.
That's amazing.
No idea. That's when, yeah, okay. Now,
how is that amazing?
I'm fascinated with all the things my body does that I don't even know.
This is when I got up to pee. I'm an old man, okay? I'm an old man. I didn't want to talk about it, but you put me on the spot. So anyway, I do remember that.
Does it track that?
There's a little cup.
Do you take a picture?
And then you have a team of people that also are using this,
And you can see how they're doing. I can see how Gregory slept. I can see how Gary slept. Wow. That kind
of thing.
Make
sleep a competitive
sport. That's what makes it
sport.
Better than yeah. a Fitbit, right?
The idea is to make this a competitive sport. Fitbit does that, actually, as well.
I slept the hell out of you last night.
And then you can give each other challenges. The thing that the iPhone app is actually kind of smart because you take pictures of your food as you're going. And then you also register how you feel after you had that meal. I don't know if that would be of use, but it's interesting. So here's people putting their status updates. There's Gary's status update. I don't know. I think this... you know, I could take a photo of my meal, choose a meal photo from the library, work out with band. I don't have a band, but if I have a band, I'll work out with them.
Sure.
Work out with GPS. That's kind of cool. If you have your phone with you, it will take the phone will take a track. This app will take a track of your workout and then upload it to the Fit to the
Nike Plus does that.
Yes, like Nike Plus.
Well, yeah.
So it combines Fitbit, Nike Plus, a food tracker, a sleep tracker. That's interesting.
And it syncs wirelessly, right? You don't have to plug it in.
No, unlike the Fitbit, you have to plug it in to sync it. That's a little bit of a disadvantage.
Because right now I'm using a whole bunch of different apps. I use the Nike Plus. By the way, I highly recommend if you ride a bike, get the Nike Plus jogging app because it's so impressed with you. It's like, that's your best marathon.
You're fast.
You just went 26
miles in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it syncs just by putting it in there like that. It's syncing right now. It's not bad. It's very quick. And you don't have to sync all the time. The one other thing that it does that the Fitbit doesn't do, it will watch your sleep cycle and you set an alarm. So you set your alarm for a half hour time frame. And when your sleep is lightest, it will wake you up by vibrating the bracelet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
What's the benefit of that?
You don't wake up when you're in deep REM sleep. You know how you wake up if you're in really deep sleep and you're groggy if the alarm goes off?
You feel more rested because they pick when you're lightest and just sort of nudge you. Like, hey, get up.
I was already up when it buzzed this morning. So.
In the morning, John. It's a catchphrase.
What if you need to get up? Is it just waits until you sleep?
What if you're, just dead out? You're never going to wake up for days.
Well, eventually it gives up, I guess. I don't know. You said
it gives up?
It's a half-hour time frame.
Dead.
I'll let you
heck
know.
With it. Right.
Apparently nobody does REM sleep for that long. I don't know how we got into this. Anyway, that's what that
you
is.
You got My into fault. It because you said everyone's going to want one.
I have a feeling this is going to be huge.
Is it going to swell up when it gets rained or what?
It's the beginning of a revolution in personal health monitoring. You know, I already, when I weigh myself, it tweets. Yeah. When I take my blood pressure, it tweets.
Yeah, and when the company that's collecting this data sends it to the insurance company, it tweets your rates have just gone up.
I'm a little worried about that. Do you think that'll happen? No.
Yes.
It's not medically reliable. They can't use that.
They can't.
Yes, they don't need it. It doesn't have to be reliable.
They can do it for any reason at all.
Any reason they got.
They did raise my rates like 13%.
So fake data.
Probably because
you get your rates down.
And signed onto that thing. I wouldn't trust it.
If they'll use it anyway, then
I should exercise.
You should spike the data.
I should exercise.
Yeah, that's another thing. Don't get those shopping cards. Those go right to the insurance companies.
Like if I buy donuts.
You bought more red meat?
Holy mackerel, look at the donuts this guy eats. Jack his rates up. He's going
to
be dead.
That's why if we just had a single payer health plan, John, we wouldn't have to worry.
I believe what it is, like on average, and I'm somebody who has to pay for his own health. I don't know how we're on health care, but the
why
rate
not? This is Twit, don't you know?
999.
Have we even started yet?
I'll try to get him on track, ladies and gentlemen. I'll do what I can.
That's why we love you, John. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, from what I understand, it's illegal to jack up the rates of any one person, but that's why they do these groups, right? Mm. So you start a group, and then the group as a whole, you know, 20% every year, year after year.
Well, I thought that, but they recently raised my rates more than they raised the rest of the company's rates.
Ew.
Is that legal?
I don't know.
It's certainly
douchey.
It's douchey. The rationale was, well, we're such a small group because we're only 20 people, in that case. So my rates were actually raised over everybody else's.
Well, they could do that because of if they have your health information and you fit one of the groups that he's talking about, I guess.
I don't know.
It seems wrong, but, healthcare.
How much is that thing?
$99.
Oh, geez.
Same as the Fitbit. No, it's really comparable to the Fitbit.
That's not going to replace Livestrong.
The reason I like it is because I've lost 3 Fitbits because they're on your belt and it's easy to lose. This, I don't know if they can.
I heard audible gasps when you said you lost 3 Fitbits.
I know.
People were like,
Well, there's one at the San Diego Zoo. If you want to. It was by
the orangutan wearing it there.
It was by the tiger.
And that's going to the insurance company.
Like, he's even really healthy.
This man has the health of an orangutan.
Bananas. How can this be?
Lots of bananas. So actually, there's some I think, sad news to start the show that just broke.
This is very sad.
You all know about Diaspora, which was founded about a year ago as a Kickstarter project to compete with Facebook. They wanted to make an open Facebook. The idea being it would be federated so anybody could run a Diaspora server. They'd all speak together. Nobody would own the data.
It's exactly like Google+. If you log into Diaspora and look at it, it is like a mirror image. Google+. looks exactly like that.
I think so you're saying Google Plus stole it?
I'm not saying that.
I think there aren't that many different ways to do a social network.
But it is Google Plus. It works exactly the same way.
It's funny because I am a member. I haven't used it. I gave them $100 when I left.
Join Diaspora.
Join Diaspora, not Get Diaspora. All right, let me type that right.
But yeah, it works exactly the same way as Google Plus. I think there may actually be a relationship between the two. That's why I don't want to accuse them of stealing.
That's interesting. The kids that did this, they were all, I think, NYU students. They went to Kickstarter to raise the money and raised a huge amount of money. In fact, Mark Zuckerberg even gave him some money.
Wow.
Joindiaspora.com. They're just calling it the Diaspora Alpha. The sad story is, we believe, according to All Things D, that one of the founders, I think there were four, a 21-year-old, passed away yesterday. So Ilya Zhytomyrskyi. And no word on what happened, but very sad. I did not know him. I had not met him. And I think there were some struggles that Diaspora was going through. But apparently he passed away at a very young age. So
21.
Not sure exactly.
Yeah, they haven't reported the cause of death.
What happened. Anyway, so very sad. And I don't know how this affects the future of Diaspora or even if that's something to worry about at this point. I really wished him well. I think the competition is a good thing. And, you know, I think it's good that Google Plus is here, too. Moving on, something a little lighter. The fire arrives this week. In fact, I'm excited because Tuesday we get the
lighter, and then you said fire.
I was fire.
A second. The Kindle fire. Yeah.
Kindle fire. Should I say Kindle fire every time?
I don't know.
Well, for a while, sure.
I can't just say the fire.
No.
I have a fire.
No, because it's
fire. I have fire.
What if you need to yell it in a crowded theater?
You're right. Okay, that's a good point. If we're in a large crowd as we are, we should always say, Kindle fire! Kindle fire! I think I violated my First Amendment rights. Are you going to order the Kindle Fire, Patrick Norton?
No.
You're not interested. Do you have an iPad?
I have an iPad.
You prefer that?
I have software investments, and I'm going to do what I usually do. I'm going to let Veronica suffer through the beta. I'm going to let you suffer through the beta. I'm going to let Tom suffer through the beta. We're going to see whether or not Amazon actually sells the extra million Kindle Fires. I'm going to admire Amazon's tablet platform splitting three ways from Sunday between Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and these 17 other platforms.
BNN's tablet comes out on Wednesday, the day after.
Yeah,
now, it's $250. The Kindle Fire, $200.
I think the pricing's great. I think this is going to do huge things for Android tablets in terms of actually getting into the market, getting on the board, as they say. Because at this point, the market has basically looked at Android, been like, "Yeah, well, we sold 100,000," and you know,
Amazon has made more than 5 million units for this year.
Hey, you know, I once made more than 5,000 cupcakes, and you know what?
Doesn't mean
only four of them were eaten. You know what I'm saying? Like. I can make 5 million toothbrushes.
You think Amazon is that?
I can sell them.
John, you think they're misguided making 5 million of them?
They study this stuff to death.
I think they know what they're doing, don't they?
So they probably sell, you know, 4 million plus.
4.87.
We could make a bet. I could lose another bet. I'm not going to do it.
They upped their order, too. It was they had ordered 3.5 million or something.
Right.
And they went back and said, our pre-orders are such a rate. We need to.
That's probably what they're based on.
Do we know how many Amazon Kindle users there are currently?
No. They never say.
Do we know how many Amazon? Because I know Amazon has like 42 billion registered clients or active clients.
Okay, everybody, can you turn out the lights? Robert Scoble just walked by.
Shh.
No one's home.
Don't say anything.
So on the.
I'm not kidding.
Sorry. On the issue of the Kindle Fire.
Okay. Shh. Just pretend he's not here.
Everybody, check out on Foursquare.
Nobody's here. Go away!
He just walked back into the kitchen.
No, that's where it's the first place he always heads.
So he's actually more irritated by Google Plus brands than I am. I should say.
So,
which is irritating, and we're going to get to that in a second, because I'm irritated too. I'm mad as hell.
But here's what I want to ask you guys, is are we victims of living in a bit of a tech bubble in that we are fundamentally a different class of people?
That's a given.
Well yes, but I mean specifically.
And so is every single person listening to this show.
Yes, exactly. We are all the type of people for whom $500 and up for a tablet is
no
not outrageous.
Right.
The
it
people
is to
that,
me.
That it's going to, really? You don't have an iPad?
I got to pay you better.
Well, I'll tell you where this is going to...
Yeah, you do. You heard him.
Where this is going to be huge is my parents-in-law are the type... They already bought the first Nook. Right. Like, they don't buy any of this stuff. But the Nook was cheap enough. Like
they bought it.
They would never consider paying more than $200, $300 for a tablet reader of any variety. And now this is a whole new opening of a category to a type of people who would never buy an iPad. It would never occur to them to buy an iPad. And I do think
so
it's
seeing it as a reader, seeing it as, it's a Kindle, I get that.
It's a reader.
It's a reader. Well, I could buy that.
I think it'll be interesting to watch the reactions. Personally, I agree with you. Amazon knows its market. Amazon's got a huge, you know, customer base. They've got an ecosystem. They've got everything going there to make this a success. I think it'll be interesting to watch because what makes the Kindle so wonderful, what makes the Sony Reader so wonderful, and a couple other platforms out there is e-ink, battery life, simplicity, and focus.
None of which the Fire has.
None of which any tablet has.
Right.
I think it's going to be really interesting to watch that. I think it's also going to be really interesting to watch as Android is forking. This is like watching angry Linux developers move in seven different directions. And I think it's going to be really interesting to watch how people react or if people even care. I think most Amazon users would be like, hey, I'm on Amazon. I got Amazon stuff.
I don't think anybody necessarily knows it's Android. They never, in the announcement, mentioned Google or Android.
And I'm not sure, but I would assume that they're going to try to minimize using the word tablet. They don't want people to think of this as being in the same category as the iPad.
So did BNN make a mistake calling it a tablet?
I don't know if it's a mistake, but as long as they focus on the reading and media consumption aspects, then they're able to position as, well, I'll tell you, and Tom was saying the best thing that the Nook is doing with Barnes & Noble is implying yes, this is great.
They came out in their press release and in their press announcement and said the Nook tablet has Netflix. The Nook tablet has Hulu. The Nook tablet has all these video that you don't get in other arenas. They didn't say Amazon didn't have it. Amazon has Netflix, and they announced Netflix at their Kindle announcement.
They got angry
but
birds, too.
The next day said, and then the Nook has Netflix, and the Kindle does, and Kindle's an Amazon. They got everybody thinking, well, because Amazon has an ecosystem, of course, the Kindle Fire is just going to be Amazon.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so Barnes & Noble is the one if you want to get other things like Netflix, to the point that Amazon had to come out with a press release the next day and say, hey, we've said from the very beginning we have Netflix.
That's clever, but how long does that fool people? Come on.
I mean, it doesn't matter because the important thing to note is that both of the companies are focusing on the media consumption aspect. They're not focusing on...
And by the way, magazines.
Yes.
I think magazines may be kind of the unheralded real strength of the Kindle Fire.
The entire metaphor of the Kindle Fire is a newsstand.
It's a rack. Yep.
It's all a rack, and that fits right into
that. And they have got big time. They've got the Hearst and Condé Nast people involved. They're going to have GQ. They're going to have...
I'm sorry. Vanity Fair, without having 5 pounds of paper in my hands,
awesome.
It's not Vanity Fair.
And imagine Vanity Fair with... wait a minute. But imagine Vanity Fair with audio and video... You know, imagine
Smell-o-vision.
It's bad enough the way it is.
Imagine Nicole Kidman
Smell-o-vision
comes out of the page and kisses you. It will be awesome. You know, I have a good imagination.
Yes.
Well, just because of that damn thing you're wearing.
No, I think that may be kind of the hidden gem in the Kindle Fire that a lot of people who read magazines, I know a lot of people, especially women, who read a lot of magazines, this may be the ultimate magazine platform, especially if these companies, and I think they do, they see this more than Apple. I think people are starting to get nervous about Apple.
Right.
Apple takes 30%. Apple owns your subscriber list. All of these issues. I think a lot of people...
Those are magazines.
Here comes the counter-argument.
Those are actual physical
magazines. He's got magazines. People like Norton are going to say, Norton, initially you're going to be skeptical because you like the paper, but I think that ultimately this may be because magazine publishers realize they don't want that. That costs them a lot of money to print. They are going to love this, and they're going to really push this medium
and most
forward.
Most people aren't as strong as Patrick and can't carry all those magazines around.
Yeah. On one hand, you guys are making really good arguments. On the other hand, No, that's John's job. No, I think it's...
I could do that.
Well, it's frustrating because most magazine publishers do not have a good digital platform. Most of them are struggling. It's like... It's
going to take Amazon, I think, helping them a lot.
And they don't like the numbers.
They don't like the numbers?
Yeah, the ad numbers, the ad revenue numbers suck for digital.
Even if you can get rid of the glossy paper and the ink and all of that stuff.
They can't seem to get the numbers up.
Oh, that's interesting.
The ad numbers are going to be bad until the conversion.
No, it's not just
over.
The ad numbers. They can't get the subscriber numbers.
But wait a minute. Haven't we seen numbers, things like the when Wired Magazine offered iPad version, 100,000 people got it.
But again, that's our bubble group. So that doesn't
matter. And first of all, like, I'm inside the bubble group, and they keep sending me reminders like, hey, by the way, Wired subscription, you know, you have the iPad version. I'm like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I'll definitely get around to checking that out.
But it's chicken and egg. So if Amazon can sell 5 million... Fires this year. I'm sorry, Kindle Fires this year.
Yeah. And which I honestly think people are looking at it as tablets. Whether Amazon says it or not, people are like,
I'm
these
looking
are
through
these
the
things.
Press releases right now, trying to find evidence of his assertion. And I have
they
not
say
seen
that.
They have not said
and
tablet
yet,
anywhere.
People see it as
and
that.
Yet,
they say $200. That's cheaper.
That's the strength of it, is it's a $200 tablet.
Yeah. Right.
Well, look how people bought the $99 touchpad.
Right, they got the $99, and that's the magic moment. People will tune out. There are a category of people who will tune out everything until it crosses that magic $99 price point.
By the way, I think Scoble found us. I'm sorry. We tried.
Where is he?
Did you see? We turned out the lights. We had everybody be very quiet, and you still found your way in.
I'll tell you something. Like Scoble's not
a
dummy.
You know, he was at the Napa Film Festival, weren't you? Yeah. Did you bring Adrian Grenier with you? Oh, wine will be
wine,
good.
Wine, bring it up here.
John says bring up the
that
wine.
That didn't take long. Who had the over-under at 20 minutes?
I think that there's a lot of potential. You sell 5 million units of this. Condé Nast puts Vanity Fair on this thing. How many subscriptions do they have to do? 100,000 to make this worthwhile? 200,000? John, you know the economics. A million, really?
You know, I was thinking the one possibility exists, and we haven't seen it executed yet, is we say, look, we'll give you a 5-year subscription to Vanity Fair and the tablet for free.
Right.
And you get the subscription on the tablet.
Hearst toyed around with that.
They did. They were going to make their own.
Off. They decided the economics.
Well, they also backed off because they didn't have the right technology.
Yeah, maybe.
That thing, they had some big reader that was a big clunker. You could roll it up or something. It was crazy.
But all the publishers that have looked at that have all backed off and said, yeah, it's better to just let these other guys make the tablets and then we'll try to work in there. But nobody wants to work with Apple because they don't want to give up the 30% of the revenue.
What's the choice for a magazine publisher, though, John? Is there a future for Vanity Fair?
Vanity Fair, is advertising are up, and so their circ's good.
Vanity Fair is one of the most successful publications
really?
You can find.
And
Vogue is still
killing.
Like that,
yeah.
But, okay.
It's stuff like
you
the
think
special
why we need Veronica.
Do you
on the
don't
panel.
Like magazines? Do you hate them to the point where you refuse to subscribe?
Well,
to
I'll use as an example two magazines that perhaps aren't in the same category as Vanity Fair and Vogue, The Economist and The New Yorker.
Mm-hmm. You hate those magazines.
I love them, but I love the content. I don't love the fact that they're piling up on my bedside table.
So you can't throw them out? You can't grab them? Go to the garbage
can?
No, you
know
why? The recycling
you
bin?
Know why? Because I haven't read them, or there may be an article in there.
But you have, as a subscriber to The Economist,
I have them on my
access
iPad.
To the iPad app.
I know.
So you just toss them. You can read the articles
I do.
Later
well,
on the
and,
iPad.
And in fact, I don't even want the paper anymore because I have them on my
see,
iPad.
See, I get The Economist, and I like having the paper because I like just having it
you
sitting
like
there on the dining room table
it.
Where I can just don't have to go
well, you get, both.
Get the iPad. But I can also go back and read articles in the past.
So this is, to me, the strength of the tablet platform. And I think one of the reasons as a magazine publisher, I think that they would embrace this. But maybe if the economics aren't.
I don't think the economics are good. For the other thing is that, for example, you'll go on your Economist thing and you'll look up the articles, and you'll skip. You won't be able to, you won't flink. A page through it and see all
I
these
won't
ads.
See the ads. You're right.
There's a lot of ads you're not going to see.
It's a tough sell for advertisers. It's a completely different advertising mission for a lot of special interest magazines.
You don't have to tell
you're
me.
You're talking about like a drumming magazine, a guitar magazine, hot rod magazine. It is enormously difficult to go into a vendor and say, "Hey, we're going to give you the a banner ad." And they're like, "Okay, I know what the click through rate on banner ads is." You know, and it's
useful.
Well, and so I think that's all just a symptom of the emerging space because on the surface, by all measures, and we talk about this on Frame Rate a lot, digital advertising is ad for ad much, much more valuable because you can track who watches it, how long they look at it, whether or not they click through.
You actually have the tools to do that, and those have to be embedded into the platform, and they have to be something that the person paying for the advertising believes in.
Nielsen
ratings, consensual hallucination, industry standard for television. It is the biggest pile of I have seen in my adult life.
That was an amazing self.
He bleeped himself.
I heard
sounded
the beginning
like
and end
had
of the word.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. But I mean, but it is. It
Patrick's
is,
been doing that for decades.
We've never edited sound Patrick effects. Ever. He's always self-edited.
It's enormously difficult for a profitable platform like television to make a transition where they and you've heard it over and over again in the last 5 years. We're trading analog dollars for digital cents. And if you're in a beleaguered platform like most magazines, Vanity Fair is an exception. Cosmopolitan is an exception. A lot of the big, thick books are an exception. If you're talking about smaller magazines, it is an enormous bridge to gulf. You have to figure out how to carry your existing consumer base, which in many cases is fairly old, right. into a new platform, onto a new distribution, and it requires a two, you know, even a Twitter.
But don't you have to do that?
I don't know what I have to do.
You can also go out of business. I mean,
there's your option.
Well, you're going to say all magazines are going to go out of business.
No, I'm not,
medium, the mediums 30, 000, have never been destroyed.
The
30, they linger in some new form.
Exactly that, right. Which is we're going to have a small number of magazines succeed. We're going to have a small number of printed books still in the future. We're probably going to still have a small number of optical disc formats for music and video games still
That's
in the future.
That's the one that really
they're
bums
all going
me
to be
out.
Reduced.
Having to deal with crappy
they're
compressed
all going to be reduced to
formats.
Collectible formats or specialty formats right. The way vinyl records are still made today.
Right.
The majority is going to be digital. And it's all a matter of
I think hard copy's dead. I think I agree with you, John. In the past, TV didn't replace radio. Radio didn't replace newspapers. But I think this is different. I think physical media is dead.
Nope. Vinyl still exists.
One no is good enough.
It's pure.
Nope.
I had to triple negative in order to go all the way back around.
What about cylinders?
Well, okay. But the vinyl.
Eight tracks. We've changed from
But.
8 tracks.
So you think magazines are eight tracks?
Put them into different categories. 8 tracks was replaced with the convenience of cassette, and we've talked about it on Frame Rex. Convenience,
you're making Leo's argument.
Fidelity, and likewise in analog formats, cylinders were replaced with 33 1/3 LPs. Right,
actually they were replaced with 78s, but
okay, whatever. down the road, right?
16s,
which
didn't make it.
Still exists to this day, and likewise. Right. Film itself is not going to go away, even though the digital is easier to distribute. It's easier to produce in. Film, there will be a place for...
But it's a hobbyist.
You're playing right into Leo's hands. Your argument stinks.
Yeah. Well, no. what's the event horizon? Are we talking 10 years, 25 years, 50
years?
And like 50
10
years,
there's going to be like two freaks running around with 60mm Aeroflex cameras because they have to have film. It's not right if it's not film.
Why have we not gotten rid of LPs then? Why
haven't we gotten rid of black and white film? People still shoot on black and white film.
It's for art. Yeah.
You know, in 10 years, if you go and you stay at the Plaza, the butler will iron a newspaper for you and give it to you perfectly pressed, and you can read it.
Printed on elephant dung
however,
paper.
Exactly. But that is going to be a very small niche.
Yeah, where is 90% of the sales going to be? Like, I will weep when they stop pressing CDs because I'm going to have to deal with probably some bizarre
online
format.
They for sure
going to
do that in the next few years.
We've never loved
Doesn't
media.
Mean I can't
we love
fight
the content.
It every inch of the way.
I think the broader point here is that there's a certain amount of attention out there for entertaining things, and there's a certain amount of money to advertise to those, and it's all about figuring out how we bring those two together in the future in digital. What we're doing right now is this long process of, well, I don't want to spend my money there, I want to spend it there, but the people aren't there anymore, they're over here, and they're doing video games, and I want everything to stay the same, and it's not. People are doing all kinds of different things, and it's not porting over very nicely. People aren't saying, well, I used to read magazines, so now I will read magazines on my laptop and my tablet.
Right,
doing
that's
all
the mistake.
Kinds of different
and
things.
That's the mistake. You really want to go into the next medium. I
got an argument. Okay. I'll jump.
Let's hear you defend this. I'm going to try to save him.
Yeah. First of all, we talk about cylinders and LPs and the rest of it. These are immature mediums that are actually essentially the same thing. I mean, the cylinder was a bunch of grooves, and then the CD even is a bunch
of
holes.
I'll grant you that.
Okay.
Yep.
Magazines have been around for so long. It's a mature medium that cannot disappear just based on media theory. It's just not going to happen, and that's the only argument you need, which is it's been around. It's very handy. It's a portable medium. I always like to take the point, like, let's switch time around. And everyone's reading magazines on their little tablets, and then somebody comes out with this revolutionary idea
because
they discovered paper and they're printing on it, and you can take these things and you can read it, and then you could, wow, this is so cool, look, I can thumb through it, and then I can
unlimited,
throw it out and I don't care.
Unlimited battery life, unlimited, yeah. Always on.
I just realized what a first world conversation this is also.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with
all
more
technology conversations.
Well, one more question. Harry McCracken on the Technologizer says Amazon's going to turn it into a phone.
What?
Kindle
Why?
Fire phone. Kindle like, Fire phone.
By running a VoIP app.
Kindle
on
Fire phone. Guy. What do you think?
That's possible.
Nah, crazy. You're crazy, Harry.
You can. Does it have a good mic?
I mean, eventually, yes. I'm going to say eventually Amazon's going to get into everything.
He says Amazon's already done a lot of the heavy lifting required to build a phone. It could repurpose some of the effort it's poured into the Kinder Fire tablet.
Well,
it's
sure.
It's interesting. Maybe they do a phone. He's saying, I'm not saying a Kindle Fire phone would be an antidote to Android fragmentation. Actually, if it's like the Kindle Fire tablet, it would be one of the most fragmented Android phones of all. But the Kindle Fire, with its simpler interface, deeply integrated services, is fragmentation with a point. In other words, he's saying this could be the best Android phone ever.
Yeah.
It's the, fragmentation with love.
It's almost meaningless to call it an Android phone. I mean, it's got Android.
It would be an Amazon system. Phone, and that's the point.
This, right. They could buy WebOS tomorrow. I'm not saying they will.
You know who
they could buy WebOS and run the same interface on the top of WebOS on the Kindle Fire. Right. Nobody would know the difference.
You know who was selling the Razer, the Motorola Razer, on 11/11/11? For $111, Amazon Wireless.
Right.
I have bought my last three phones from Amazon Wireless. They are a very big player already in wireless. It's an interesting point.
Well, and the phone I could see being kind of a backdoor discovery in that you buy this ultra-portable reader that just happens to have the form factor that we associate with the phone, and they're like, well, this is silly. Why can I not take calls on this? And then at some point they just
How about, Corey's got a great idea in our chat room. How about they buy Sprint? They give away free phone service because they're making enough money on the front end of Amazon services.
Part of Amazon Prime.
And Sprint makes its money off the wholesale service of LTE anyway.
Anyway. In fact, Sprint makes more money on wholesaling, on MVNO, than they do on being Sprint. They don't want to be Sprint anymore. They want to sell you. So maybe they don't even buy Sprint. They just become an MVNO.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway. iLover also pointed out that you need paper magazines for doctor's offices.
Yeah, and that way they can. 6 months that's the only way they can transmit diseases.
That's right,
and keep the doctors in business.
That's right.
Otherwise, we'd all be
Did
healthy.
You see at JFK? Was it JFK? They have a restaurant that have all iPad for the instead of where they would put the jukebox. They have the iPad there with the menu and everything. Put five iPads in a doctor's office.
My doctor's office won't let you have any electronics on in the waiting room.
What?
What kind of
no
doctor
cell phones,
is this?
They're afraid
nothing.
You'll catch viruses.
Why? Why?
It's a Zen thing.
Did you ask him?
I
see this more and more, and I hate it. Turn off cell phones. It's crazy. What's wrong with a cell phone?
She said interference with the machine.
Oh, bull crap.
Like, what are you, a pilot?
Yeah. Even the pilot doesn't. Anyway, what do I have to do? Do I have to do an ad here?
Yes, please.
What is the ad for?
Way over time.
Well, we could do Go to My PC.
How about Go to My PC? I don't even know what's going on. I didn't even start the timer. You know, where's the remote control? Let's start the timer.
We started just about at 3
So
o'clock.
You're running timers now.
Yes, I'm trying
no
to keep
wonder,
this thing
because I always try to get out of here, and I always say, what? He's
no,
done already?
I'm trying
he used to go 15 minutes on some of these
I'm
ads.
I'm trying to keep... Not on the ad. I'm trying to time the show. I want to shorten you. Anyway, I want... What is it? Go
to
My PC?
No comeback for that.
PC. Yeah, I know. Go to mypc.com, right? That's the place to go for remote access. That John's going to walk through that. Go ahead. Just walk. Yeah. Go ahead. Have another piece of tri-tip. It's fabulous.
Hey, John, can you grab me a Diet
Coke?
There
he goes.
Thank you, sir.
Anything else? No, thanks.
Anyway, thanks to Go to My PC for their support. Back to the show. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Do you know what I've used Go to My PC for recently?
Why?
On the road, I'm at a hotel, and they got terrible Wi-Fi. And I don't know what it is about hotels where universally they all have absolutely terrible Wi-Fi, right?
Yep.
But I know at home I've got good bandwidth, and let's say there's something, a preview I need to check or a file that needs to be downloaded and checked. What I'll do is I'll go to my PC, to my office PC, download the file remotely,
because
I can download the 200 megabytes or whatever, and I'll actually watch the preview over Go to My PC for the choke bandwidth.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yes, it is.
It's basically like a VPN. So one more use of Go to My PC, it allows you secure, safe surfing anywhere you go because you're 128-bit SSL back to your office. And if your office has high-speed internet, you can use its high-speed internet to get those big files. Brilliant. That's a great use. Mac or PC, I want you to try it free right now. Visit gotomypc.com. Click the orange Try It Free button. Use the offer code TWIT. It works everywhere. It works on Macs and PCs. And with the free iPad app, you can also access your office computer from an iPad. It's a little wacky running Windows on an iPad.
How do you deal with the right clicks? Yeah,
They have the whole thing set up. They got a little mouse thing. It's really sweet. They've solved the whole thing. You get full keyboard functionality. You use touch. You use gesture. You still have access to that, but you're using Windows. It's
I've
really kind of amazing.
I've actually used this to freak someone out and told them I ported Windows.
I know.
Like, yeah, see?
It's very impressive.
I've got it running on my
iPad. It's very
impressive.
With Go to My PC. That's awesome.
It is magic. Go to mypc.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the offer code TWIT. Try it free for a couple of weeks. Actually, I guess you get a month free, and you will be amazed. Go to mypc.com. One more thing on that Go to My PC. We're going to do it again. We did it with a Twit photo. I think we did it once with Twit. We're going to do it again. We're giving away an iPad 2. We know the holidays are coming, and we want some lucky member of our audience to use an iPad 2 to access their office computer while they're away for the holidays. We're calling it the Way for the Holidays giveaway from Go to My PC. To enter to win, here's what you do. You can do it right now or any time between now and November 23rd. So we're going to give you 10 days to do this. Send a tweet with the hashtag pound TWIT-free iPad, okay? In your tweet, tell us your holiday travel destination, where you might want to work remotely if you're not going anywhere with your iPad 2 and go to my PC. You got to really sell it, even though we're going to pick it randomly. So again, tweet where you're going for the holidays, where you'd like to take your iPad, and make sure you use the hashtag TWIT-free iPad. You have to send that tweet by November 23rd, and you'll be entered to win a new iPad 2 from GoToMyPC. It'll be a random drawing, but do be creative. We'll announce the winner and review some of your tweets in the show the week after next, so that's a good reason to be creative. Do something creative, we'll put you on the show. Other rules available in the show notes for this episode or at player.podtrack.com/rules-twit. Thank you. Go to my PC. We love giving away iPads. I hope you're the winner. So, Patrick, you, like Mr. Scoble here, are unhappy with the brands on Google Plus.
Google Plus. We're going to do brands. We're going to save it. We're going to have features for businesses. We're going to launch it. It launches. Surprise! It permanently attaches itself to whatever account you have open.
Well, that's
Google
what happened to Robert.
Wait, what else happens? There's no official verification policy. You can have multiple accounts for the same thing.
Anybody can be TWIT.
Anybody can be TWIT. Anybody can be TechZilla. Yep. There's verified. There's, if you're a huge company, you might have a verified site, but there's no way to figure out how to verify. There is no system for tracking who's posting. There is no system for logging in multiple people unless you give a bunch of people the same email address. Like it is a steaming mess.
Yes! Robert Scoble. He agrees.
First of all, full disclosure, I haven't tried it yet. But
what?
All the complaints
yeah,
I've
you're
heard,
in the bubble?
All the complaints I've heard have been stuff that I would assume would happen when you take baby steps. The whole thing, like, no way to verify, no way to track, by that same logic, then you should have been annoyed by the calamitous.
No, why the delete expletive did they wait 14 months to launch it if they weren't actually going to do anything useful for administrating a brand in a company?
Baby steps, bro.
No, but this isn't a baby step. This is a mess.
So you would prefer that they just don't even have anything. Either start
you don't
off
even
and it's all
use
perfect.
It.
Well, we're using it. And by the way,
he's
by
just
the way,
defending it out of the
All right, all right.
Job.
Where's the chat room? Who's watching live? I want you to open up a Brian Brushwood Google Plus page. Let's see how many Brian
Norton.
Brushwood Google Plus page we can get open.
No,
I hate
that.
You.
Don't do that to him. Don't do that.
Sounds like a first world problem.
By the way. And Eileen, you pointed this out. There was a duplicate TWIT page, and they killed it. So Google killed it. So
what I don't get is why they're not being more vicious about this when they were so vicious about the real names policy.
I know.
They could have been as strict with this company policy if they wanted to be.
And we are still not verified, although they did kill the this is the other TWIT page.
They killed it or somebody else killed it?
That's a good point. It might not have been Google. It might have been just the people who started it.
Because like Veronica and I were going back and forth. Like, I didn't want it. And somebody else did one. We're like, we can't log in.
Well, here's what Robert said in his blog post. You know, he works for Rackspace. He immediately, I think smartly so, Roberts went and created a Rackspace brand page, then realized that he owns it. You can't delegate it. You can't have anybody else at Rackspace post to it because they'd have to have your Google Gmail credentials.
No.
Have you resolved that, Robert?
Nope.
Not been able to.
Has not resolved.
Duck your head down. Yeah.
Surprise!
There's no doubt that they're going to add multiple administrators and that they're going to make this fix.
I'm sure they will.
The plan for the beginning.
But the question is, they blocked, you know.
What was the point of launching it now?
They blocked a lot of people. They said, apply if you want a brand. How long has it been? It's been 6 months?
This is the Steve Jobs argument. Then by your logic, they just shouldn't do it until it was all ready to go.
Well, they launched Google Plus. They could have held back.
I'd rather see an emerging platform that at least...
What about that, Robert?
Kind of functionality from the get-go.
Brian, I think the problem is that they don't have a really good identity system. And that's where this NIMS war thing comes from, and that's where the brand thing comes from.
And this is where Facebook does have.
Yeah.
How come Facebook's works?
Facebook's paying attention? Facebook has product?
Because it's really no Facebook different. I mean, in fact, in theory, Google would have a better authentication system.
They didn't have managers either when they first came out with brand pages. They've just had 6 years to get ahead.
Right. They're ahead of it.
Yeah, anybody could open a Facebook page for anybody else back in the day.
That's true. In fact, there are legal pages on Facebook.
You still can sign up other people for groups, right?
Right.
I mean, what's the whole thing where somebody signed up Zuckerberg for NAMBLA?
Is this any different than Google Plus? I mean, has Facebook got an advantage, really? Or are we just used to Facebook?
Well, there's a giant...
pile of existing users.
740 million advantages.
But I mean, in the implementation, in the way it works, is it working?
So I'm kind of lost track of what is the conversation?
Okay,
about?
Yeah. So it
Google Plus
like
friends.
There's no
John's
debate.
Not on Google Plus. He doesn't know or care.
I'm John C. Dvorak on Google Plus.
Oh, I'm going to plus you.
I think there's
no
debate.
I'm not verified. No.
There's no debate that Google Plus is not where it needs to be as far as company pages. But right. but your point seems to be that they shouldn't have even taken this first step.
I don't understand why they couldn't have launched what they have now. They could have launched with the rest of Google Plus. What was the point?
Wait a minute.
Given how annoyed you are, why would they do it with launching
this is a
Google
brand
Plus?
Page.
They said for a long time.
It says John needs to add you to a circle before you can add back. How did you do that?
One of those tricks that very few people know about.
Including you.
Two bottles of wine and some late
night. Is this a brand page?
It shouldn't be.
They said they didn't want brand pages because they wanted to take the time to do it right.
Wait a minute. I'm a brand. I'm sorry. It was my fault.
You're the brand.
I'm the brand. I have to switch back to Leo.
I did bring
Leo
into my
circles. Leo is Twit is Leo.
I guarantee you're on there.
By the way,
they lie.
The other Brian Brushwood pages are already coming out in the chat room.
Oh,
thank you
I'm
very much,
so
Mr.
sorry. Patrick, you've done it to him. Oh, you were already in my tech journalist circle, John, actually. But you know what I didn't have is no agenda show. Shall I add that?
You might as well.
That's a brand page, so I have a brand circle.
I was doing it, but go ahead.
And that's the problem.
Well, no, it's not the problem because we're open source. It could be anybody.
And you don't mind that?
No, we encourage it.
Yeah.
They really should have made it restricted. If they're going to say this is a field test, we're trying it out, we're working out the kinks, they should have launched it. I thought, and in fact,
that would have made me
when
mad,
they first
though.
Announced it that it was going to be limited to certain brands. While they got it right,
vanity URLs would be really nice too, because the whole
well, that to, yeah, down the road, right. Yeah, that's not a big concern.
Well, but again, I mean, Google Plus is seems to be aiming towards getting away from focusing on the URL and instead focusing on the keywords that bring you to people's Google Plus page.
So basically, it's another search experiment for math geeks and comp sci. Programmers inside of Google rather than focusing on product and human beings that you need to drive.
I don't think it's black and white like that. I think you got to start somewhere and it's going to be incomplete from the
round two.
I just don't see this as being that much different than what you can do on Facebook.
No.
Well, again,
you're right.
I mean, they have to match. They have to have parity with what
but
Facebook
Google said they were going to do it right and they waited 6 months and they launched it
and
it
said that.
Yeah. WTF. I mean, what have they done here that actually makes it useful for people managing brands? It is a freaking Google Plus account that you can assign. They basically
they
said
do?
You can name
they,
it something.
They made it possible. People have been begging for this, and then they give it, and you're like, well, I don't like the way you did it very much.
They didn't, but they didn't do a lot of stuff that makes it. If you're a brand.
That's fair.
Okay, you're a brand of one, so it's easy for you. Scoble accidentally branded himself as an entire company.
Well, that's true.
I accidentally branded myself as
Scoble
a large group of
people. Accidentally branded himself as Google Plus in the early days.
Well,
he used to be Twitter. Amazon, I didn't know this. Speaking of Amazon, Amazon bought Yap. Did you know about Yap? Yap was used, I think, by teenagers for texting primarily, but it's a voice recognition service. I think there's a scramble now to get these voice recognition companies Android and iOS and now Kindle.
That plays into McCracken's theory.
Yeah, well, maybe a phone or are they trying to do Siri?
It's all about Siri.
I think,
of course, we all know is a front for the CIA because that way we get everybody's voice print. And we can identify whatever it is you're doing based on that, because everyone's voluntarily.
CIA. You're duped into thinking it's the CIA. That's what they want you to think.
It's clearly the mafia.
Obviously the secret world government.
It's
behind
NSA.
The CIA
is a front itself.
By the way, on
so
Siri,
give up your voice prints, everybody. Knock yourselves out.
What do they care if they have my voice prints?
Just in case.
I will say this for Siri.
Boy, wherever could they find my voice prints?
You're in a special category.
So I have noticed on Siri, while there still are outages, Siri is getting way good at apologizing for them. Because, like, the other day, in fact, I was trying to hook up with Tom.
It apologizes now to you?
Well, I was driving along.
Teresa and Johnny's.
Teresa and Johnny's. And so I'm like, directions to Teresa and Johnny's in San Rafael. And there's this pause, and then Siri goes, Brian, I am so sorry, but I can't take this request right now. Can you try later?
You're kidding.
There was something bizarrely earnest about it that made me be like, oh, Siri, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have bothered. Let me ask John. John will take care of it for me.
So they're actually on the fly updating these responses.
I'm sure. It's continuously evolving. In fact, you're seeing this first, massively written, artificially intelligent personality that's emerging over time. And it starts with humor.
I am sorry. I'm on my period.
Is that you or Siri?
Yeah. iOS 5.01, the update, over-the-air, first over-the-air update for Apple. You know, Apple gets such a free pass from everybody. Every phone in the world has had free over-the-air updates going back to the original Razr. And and Apple now has over-the-air updates. Whoopee! Anyway, they have...
I'll tell you what, I am happy.
Well, I don't have to connect it to that stupid iTunes anymore, but...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it fixed the battery problem. A lot of people complaining.
Not for me.
Did it fix it?
No, not at all. In fact, I've had abysmal battery life, and I'll be the first to admit it probably has something to do because I'm doing the Nike Plus GPS tracking when I go out on my bike rides and stuff. So I haven't known how much of that has been a lifestyle thing, but I know that even after the update, it's abysmal.
I just carry that battery.
That's what he uses.
Oh my God, yes!
Use a 5-pound battery.
I got this. Carry it with you wherever you go. It's all handled. Let me go ahead and get it plugged in.
That's awesome.
The reason I carry that everywhere is the Sprint Overdrive modem that's rapidly leaving.
So this is an Energizer.
It's like an 18,000 milliamp battery.
It's the equivalent of 10 iPhone batteries in one.
Yeah. No, you don't have to hang up. Let's keep talking. I got plenty of time.
and it will last for 2 hours.
You know, with AntennaGate, they sent everybody free cases. Maybe this will be the solution to the battery issue.
Well, speaking of AntennaGate, let's talk about that. Because remember, Apple said there's nothing wrong with our antennas. You're holding it wrong. And apparently, Consumer Reports disagreed because they didn't recommend the iPhone 4. This was really what got Steve Jobs to come back from Hawaii, we've now learned in the biography, and address AntennaGate. He was irate. He really had to be talked down. I think handled it well. Well, now Consumer Reports says the iPhone 4X fixes the antenna problem, and they are recommending the 4S.
Now, how much of that do you think Consumer Reports is just sticking to their guns? Like, they made an unpopular argument saying, we can't recommend the iPhone 4, but then once they said that on the record, they started to stick with it, even though there were so many features about the iPhone 4 and about the 4S that were popular. They had to wait until they're like, okay, I trust those guys.
Apple actually fixed it.
I think they fixed it. So let's see. You know, I have 5 bars right now on the old iPhone 4 in the same.
How many
phones do you
carry?
Oh, lots.
Several.
In the same iPhone 4, in the same area, this holding it this way with my palm across that plastic strip would bring this down to zero. It is not doing it. So I think, in fact, they may have fixed that. This is not affected.
Well, keep in mind, my question is not whether or not Apple fixed it. I do think Apple fixed it, but my question was whether or not it was such a huge deal to begin with.
Well,
Consumer Reports is a very nuts and bolts. I mean, you're talking about the Amazon audience. That is the Consumer Reports audience. And they're like, if you hold the phone and it doesn't work, that's really stupid.
Right.
And Consumer Reports is like, this is ridiculous. Why aren't people talking about this?
That's an iPhone 4.
And then I think, you know, when Steve Jobs tells you that you're wrong, it doesn't have to work as a phone because it's so cool, or you learn how to hold it my way.
They do talk in the book about the fact that the engineers told Jobs, if you put a metal band around the phone, it's going to be a problem. And he and Johnny Ive said, but we don't care. It's pretty. And this happens time and time again. The problem with the reality distortion field doesn't affect physics yet.
Right.
And so,
I like the fact that you put yet in there.
It may.
We haven't written that code for the.
It'll go to zero. I've done this many, many times. I should point out we're in a marginal AT&T area, even though there is a
California.
Cell,
is a marginal AT&T area.
They're both in the same cell tower.
You're making that go down.
Yeah, it's not happening with the 4S.
The other interesting thing is with this battery problem. Apple has put out 2 announcements saying
there was
a battery problem.
Yeah.
We think we fixed it for most users. And then when it didn't happen, came back and said we fixed it for most users. We're still hearing reports that there may be problems, and we're investigating those for the few users. I don't think they would have put out those releases
Post Steve Jobs.
You know, it's better, and I don't know if I haven't done this in a year and a half since the iPhone came out, before it came out originally, and this would have been zero by now. So they may have actually improved the tower in Petaluma.
Or at least improved the display to not confess.
Oh, you know what? They did.
They said that.
All right. So,
they even said, there's a problem with the display.
The problem is how we calculate those bars.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that I think that's kind of interesting. I don't know what to say. If you have the first generation Nano,
you got one on you?
No, I know.
Actually, that's a long time ago. That's the one that was like a little candy bar.
Well,
right?
And the problem here is, of course, that some of them are leaking and exploding and battery issues.
Come on, they're 5 years old.
Right. Well, and here's the problem though: is who are the people who still have these? It's not you and me. It's our
Grandma.
Children and who get our hand-me-downs. Right. And what's funny? This is the kind of thing I would totally
ignore. Blow up the kids.
No, it's and this is the kind of thing I would totally ignore. Except for my daughter does play with my 5-year-old.
That's a good point.
iPod Nano, and so
that's
it's
a very
like,
good
well,
point.
I don't want
kudos to Apple for. I mean, this is a long. You know, this has been out since September 2005. They are actually replacing them with brand new iPods. So,
Are they replacing them with brand new iPod Nanos?
They must be using the new Nanos because I can't imagine
they wouldn't make old ones.
They're going to have old Nanos.
Well, but they could do refurbished old ones or something. It's probably not worth it. It's probably worth it just to get.
You know, I don't know. Does the chat room know what do you get if you exchange it?
Someone have said that you actually get a
another first generation Nano.
That's what it looked like from the article I read, which is silly to me.
These are by the way 1 gigabyte.
But understand also, this is not a testament to what an upstanding company Apple is. This is a testament to the calculus that goes into it. There's that great scene in Fight Club where they talk about how the formula is you multiply the percentage of failures by the out of court settlement, and then and if it's greater than the cost of a recall, that's when you bother to do one. Right. But outside of that, you know,
Brian, I have a suggestion.
Yes,
decaf.
No, his hair doesn't do that automatically. He has to actually make it do that. It's not the coffee. So I spoke on Monday to a PubCon, which is the old Webmaster World. It's a SEO group. These are people who have spent their last few years figuring out the internals of how Google works so that they can go to their clients and make sure that they do well in the search engine results. You know, there's some snake oil in SEO, but there's some legitimate SEO you can do. I made a mistake. Somebody asked me, what do you think the future of Google is? And I said, Google's in deep trouble. Because because Siri, among other things, is going to intermediate between you and Google on mobile platforms. This is why Google created Android, I believe. Apple is determined to replace Google as search engine. And as you get Siri to more and more platforms for Apple, and I do believe they're going to put it everywhere, and maybe Microsoft even does this, because Microsoft does have a search engine of their own. It may be just a year or two before people are talking to their computer instead of searching on Google, asking their computer for the answer, and the computer is intermediating between them and Google and replacing ultimately.
Number one, that's 100% right. Number two,
they were unhappy. They were really unhappy.
Number two, I'm going to say that there's going to come a time. At first, it's going to be about how the voice sounds, and it's going to be about voice packs, and it's going to be about what kind of personality do you want to interact with. But in 10 years, it's going to be about staff writers for what kind of personality do you want your artificially intelligent virtual butler to have.
But Siri's using Google.
Right now, Siri is using Google for web search, but it doesn't mention Google, and it doesn't need to mention Google, and it could be anything.
But
Google
can block.
It also uses Wolfram Alpha,
right?
It uses Yelp.
And how easy would it be to just swap out the nuts and bolts? I mean, you would never even know it. Siri would still sound the same. She'd still say the same thing.
And you'll always want to sit at your desktop and talk to it, as we all know, because voice recognition is totally eliminated keyboards.
It will, along with physical media.
That's not true.
Oh, yes, it is.
Well, no, because there are social dynamics where it's inappropriate for me to be talking over other people. For example, here at the table, I could fire off a quick tweet or something like that. There is a value to nonverbal communication.
We haven't solved that yet.
Although the ability to recognize your mouth moving without making sound and be voice recognition is there. That could be the fix.
So we all could sit here like this.
You mean like those phony commercials of the Herman Cain thing where he's saying one thing because they got a good... You've seen these.
Oh, yeah, the bad lip reader.
The bad lip reader.
Patrick solved this. He's got the brain tap, and that's the other way to do it. Yeah. I think it's just...
You guys are all nuts.
says the inventor of the Dvorak keyboard.
Yeah.
So Eric Schmidt... Eric Schmidt, I have to point out, speaking before Congress, the Senate subcommittee, says... Siri is a threat to Google's search business.
Okay, but this is also to
could be
justify
disinformation.
The position.
He's trying to convince.
Congress is saying, why aren't you a monopoly that we should bust up? And he's like, no, there's lots of competition.
There's Siri.
Yeah, big competition.
Everybody was saying this about Facebook a couple years ago. Facebook's going to kill Google.
It is.
Everyone's searching on Facebook. But
social search. Social search is the future. Just stand back. Watch out.
Where'd you get that T-shirt?
T-shirt? You mean
Moomoo? Your thing.
It's a Moomoo.
Moomoo. Where'd you get that? That's a hilarious one.
You love it. You know what? It's so old it has floppies. This is from the Screensavers. Patrick probably remembers
it.
Oh,
this is that era where you were wearing these cool shirts and then the suits.
They said it. You can't wear bowling shirts.
You can't wear these shirts. Yeah, this is a fact. The suits came up to him and said, Leo, we don't think it's business appropriate for you to be wearing these crazy
shirts
on the air.
They also got the refrigerator, and I'll never forgive them for that.
Because no one wears crazy shirts on television.
No. Yeah, no, heaven forbid. You might attract attention.
Yeah.
You maybe get your numbers up.
No, I think Greg Drebin, who was ultra hip, he was the original hipster, thought it wasn't cool. It wasn't cool enough to wear.
It looked, I think it was Hammersley.
Actually, there's a bunch of stuff that came actually from Vulcan Ventures.
Oh, you think it was?
For example, the kilt was actually targeted by Vulcan.
Paul Allen didn't like your kilt?
No, some people that Paul Allen hired from L.A. was like, America doesn't like the kilt.
I was embarrassed showing this to my friends.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much.
I could see Paul Allen saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. Yeah. I am having fun. I don't know about you guys. I hope you're following the
following
the conversation. Brian Brushwood is here from Scam School and, of course, NSFW, which is every, I never know, Wednesday, Tuesday?
Every Tuesday, of course.
Whatever.
He moves it around. The
problem is we do a lot of shifting around because, of course, I'm touring with the live stage show, and so sometimes I get booked on Tuesdays. Right. It makes it complicated.
But whenever we can, we try to get it on Tuesday.
Just follow the tweets. That's the only
thing. After Ham Nation, which it's like the collision
How's
of the world.
Ham Nation doing?
You got these old hams, and then all right, they go. It's time for the kids. The kids are going to come on, and then you come on.
We come in with our memes within memes,
and they don't. They have no idea.
Cats.
Yes.
We're going to take this conversation over to the 20-meter band. We'll see you there.
I'll tell you what, though. I want to, go full circle and have the Ham Nation crossover where they have me. I want to get my amateur license, actually.
You should totally.
Everyone should get one.
Ham SFW.
We got two out of the five people here are hams.
Really?
Can you pick which two?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. When the zombies come in.
She's nodding. She said, yeah.
When the solar flares knock stuff out, it's going to be the hams that rule the earth. Wow.
No, actually, solar flares are bad for us.
Yes.
Yes. Actually, pretty much everything kills a ham signal, I've found, including smart meters. What are you doing? What are you doing, John?
I'm watching you.
You're being disruptive.
I am. Yes, I'm sorry.
Give
you
me that
NSFW
chewing gum.
You started acting
I'm
like the show.
The
Everyone
principle.
Has to have gum.
Anyway, thank you for being here, Brian Rusher. Tom Merritt, the host of TNT, our daily. Actually, how are you going to do this?
What?
The week ahead.
Oh, I'll just go over there and do
it. Will you just go over there and do it?
Normally, I'm just over there.
Yeah. Right?
So I'll just walk
okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that now?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Let's see. Let's check in right now. Tom Merritt, who hosts TNT, he does the I'll give him a couple minutes to get over there. He does our great daily news show, 2:30 p.m. Pacific, 5:30 Eastern, Monday through Friday. Tom, what's coming up on the week ahead?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at what we'll be covering on Tech News
today
in the week ahead.
This is bogus.
It's the last day of Science Hack Day in San Francisco. Also, Mario 3D Land launches. Monday, November 14th is the Enterprise 2.0 conference in Santa Clara. Kicks off on Monday, runs through the 17th. Tuesday, November 15th, the Amazon Kindle Fire ships. Also, the deadline for submitting dataset ideas to the KDD Cup and Halo Combat Evolved is launching. Wednesday, November 16th is my mom's birthday. Also, Yay. Google Music has a These Go to 11 event. Well, we think it's Google Music. Also, the Lumia 800 arrives in the UK. Thursday, November 17th, Motorola Mobility stockholders will vote on the $12.5 billion Google merger. I'm betting they're voting in favor of it. And Friday, November 18th, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword comes to Europe. And the Active Authentication Proposers Day meeting will be held in Arlington, Virginia. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Tom.
Oh, that's
you went right over there. Ran over there, did that.
One take merit.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
How did you
well done.
All that, Tom.
That is amazing.
Well, Eileen was inserting those on the fly.
That's amazing. We good. Have the best production
did
team in the world.
Did you notice that you have a different T-shirt on now? Did you change it on the way back?
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Don't try that. We know better
Why
than
would
that,
you think that? It's odd.
It's called
you
magic.
You didn't have that purple thing on just a minute ago. What did you do? Put it back on?
It slides under the sleeve. So you probably just didn't see it.
Keep trying, John.
The Grinch of Twist.
Continuity was perfect.
I'm not going to be beaten at this game.
Hey, we are going to take a break. Also, of course, John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com. Great to have John and noagendashow.com and my good buddy Patrick Norton from TechZilla. But first, I should mention
Carbonite.
I didn't bring my clipboard. That's why I don't know what's going on. Carbonite, of course, is backup done right. We've talked about Carbonite before. This is the best backup service. Automatic, in the cloud backup. So, and I'm telling you, disasters happen, but they will never happen to you if you've got a Carbonite backup. And they listen, too. Let me tell you, Carbonite online backup. Remember, we've talked about this before. It's unlimited backup, $59 a year, less than $5 a month, for all the data, as much data as you have on your internal drive. But people came to us and they said, well, wait a minute, I want to back up external drives too. So Carbonite has responded. If you go to Carbonite.com now, you will see they have several different plans depending on what you want to back up. If it's your internal drive, if it's a laptop, still less than $5 a month. Very affordable backup for external drives too, small businesses too. It is fantastic. Carbonite has really responded, as always, and has given us new ways to back up. Three plans, all unlimited, depending on what you want to back up. I want you to go to Carbonite.com right now and take a look at these new plans, the Home, Home Plus, and Home Premier. Pick the one you want. You could try it free for 2 weeks. Just use the offer code TWIT. By the way, 2 weeks is usually enough to get that entire first backup done. And now, if you decide to buy, I want you to use the offer code TWIT again. You'll get 14 months for the price of 12. Whatever plan you choose, 14 months for the price of 12. It's encrypted. It's safe. It works easily. It's cloud storage, too. You can log on to your Carbonite account from any computer, Mac, or PC, smartphone, tablets, Blackberries. There's your stuff. Carbonite backup. It's the best. Try it free for 2 weeks at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT, and when you buy, you'll get 2 months, 14 months of the price of 12 when you go to Carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT. I should point out they don't yet have Mac clients for Home Plus and Home Premier. They will. They're working on it. One of the things Carbonite, I think, and I really admire them for this, when they write their clients, they really want them to be native. They want them to fit. They want them to work with Lion. The home version does work beautifully with Lion, and they want to make sure the same thing happens for Home Plus and Home Premier, and they are working on that. That'll be just around the corner. But if you've got Windows, try it now. Carbonite.com. Everybody's back in their seats. The only guy who doesn't...
Oh, whoa! He just shot Schwood.
That was very disturbing to see a slowly walking JCD look and then just whip out a gun right at your face.
He fragged you, man.
And pulled the trigger.
Unbelievable. He should be on the
gaming
show.
There was some part of me that thought, this is how it ends. Assassinated by John C. Dvorak on Twitch.
That is possible.
You know, it might be good for ratings. You might... A thought.
Cut to three.
In fact, his show, double.
Yeah. We could see the last Dennis
posthumous episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been banking hundreds of them for my family's estate.
So, you did mention somebody mentioned something I thought we should talk about when we come back, but I don't remember what it was, so I'll move on. Do you remember?
Did we bring up
something?
To be honest, I haven't been paying much attention.
All right. Shoot Schwood for ratings. That's the name of the show. By the way, you know who said that? Denise Howell. So our hosts are now, you know.
So it's legal?
We already know that Norton hates him.
So what happened to iTunes Match? It was supposed to launch at the beginning of the month. This is that.
It was supposed to launch at the end of October.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be really cool. Yeah. This is $29 a year. They take all the pirated music on your hard drive, replace
make it. Legit.
Well, no, they don't say it that way.
Music.
Yeah,
they're pirated
or not.
Legally acquired.
And they make it legit.
But to be honest, it's like they still come out ahead. Let's assume for sake of discussion that every single song you have is totally pirated, right? At this is what, $25 a year, is that right?
Yes.
This is
yes.
not that much cheaper than signing up for a subscription service like Mog or Spotify or one of those things.
Well, it's a lot
that
cheaper.
Gives you, that, well, no, because,
Mog is $10 a month. Spotify is $10 a month.
So
it's $120.
I thought it was like $7.99 or $8.99.
I'm paying for Mog and
Spotify,
I'm paying $10.
$5 a month plan is the cheapest one.
Yeah, but you can't use it on mobile devices, yeah. So you really want the $10 a month.
Right. Okay.
But even $5 is still. A lot
but,
more.
But the point is, what if I told you what is your point, Brushwood? My point is...
It's on the top of his head, I believe.
Down to, we'll call it, what, $3 a month, right?
Yeah, cheap.
Or $2.50. What if... But you get, what, 5% the catalog? 1% the catalog that you would get if you signed up for Mog or Spotify or one of these other services?
No, they have the same songs, don't they?
No, because you only get access to the music that you bothered to pirate before you signed up for Match.
Oh.
You don't get all the songs out
So
there.
What you're saying is I should have pirated every song.
No. What you should do is just go ahead and pay $8 more a
month.
And
you have Spotify.
And you've got millions of songs.
The difference is you own this song after you put the $25.
Yeah. Well,
so you own it. And by the way, they replaces those 92 kilobit Napster songs I downloaded of Dobie Gray's Drift Away with a 256. What?
Yeah, I got those.
You got that too? Yeah. I think it's 256 kilobit AAC or 320 kilobit AAC. It's very high quality, right?
One Tin Soldier.
Well, and that is
true. One Tin Soldier. Love that song, yeah.
Same.
So now,
One Tin Soldier.
But it doesn't replace them with non-DRM versions.
Yeah, it does.
So you can match everything, wipe your hard drive, and just re-download it.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, well, that is worth it. But then I would do it for 1 year.
Well, that was a long way.
You know what? You know what? You might be worth it, but when are we going to get it? Although there is a hint, because November 12th, which was yesterday.
Yes.
November 16th.
I was doing the math. November 12th, which was yesterday, they deleted all the developer libraries.
This is the fifth time they've done that, by the way.
Never mind. Really?
Yeah, they keep doing it because
they're going to launch?
Every time they update the iTunes beta with iTunes Match, they make the developers delete all their songs, turn it off.
Well, that
sucks. Then they download a new iTunes beta, and then you can try it again.
By the way, up to a maximum of 25,000 songs.
Oh, right. That stinks.
Well, so the other shoe dropping here was when they made them delete it again, everybody said, okay, maybe this is it. They're going to put it out, and then they put out another iTunes beta.
Ugh, crap.
So when the iTunes beta came out yesterday, everyone said, well, crap, now we have to wait another round.
Any thoughts as to why this is the North Carolina data center not ready? I mean, Siri's been having trouble. It still goes down periodically.
I think they're trying to make sure that they don't have another mobile me on their hands. Yeah, they want to make sure it works right.
Well, and also keep in mind that when people use the service, you're going to have a massive number of people all at the exact same moment trying to have the service. And this is not going to be a minor update for each person. We're talking about gigantic libraries, hundreds of gigabytes in some cases.
As many as 25,000 songs.
Yeah.
Now, the good news, I don't have to upload those songs. But if I say, and I know people are going to do this, oh, and by the way, I'd like all those songs now.
Right.
They're going to have
exactly.
a real.
It still takes a long time for them to scan through and say, do we have this song or not?
No,
well, and that's the other thing, too, is the biggest benefit to this would be if you have rare bootlegs of certain albums. That's the big thing. That's the big reason. That's the reason to own instead
of
lease
your
music.
And by the way, they say if we don't have the song, you may upload it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It goes through and matches. And then anything it doesn't match, it then uploads.
No, but what does that do? Like, there was back in before I was a reformed good guy, there were these archives of gigabytes and gigabytes of nothing but Grateful Dead live bootlegs.
Sure.
Well, I don't think they distribute those for you, right? I think they'll keep a copy.
Like your own locker.
Yeah, it's a locker service. That's why the subscription thing isn't a big comparison
they
for me.
Better
hurry. Because it's just locker versus subscription.
Because I saw Tom Merritt on the This Week Ahead talk about November 16th, which, if I'm not mistaken, is Wednesday. Google's got an announcement. These go to 11.
That's right.
That's got to be their music.
We think it's Google Music.
It's got to be Google Music, right?
Featuring, and I think we all agree that they're going to have Spinal Tap play live at the event.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, I'm sure they
would. Nigel Tufnel should show up. It was his day on Friday. 11-11-11.
Oh, right.
That's true.
It's Nigel Tufnel Day. He should show up.
The word
Do you know what we're talking about, John?
No.
Lawrence Welk.
I long since accordion. Gave up on this conversation.
All right.
The word
Something
on the
about
street
free music.
Is One Tin Soldier
is going to go ahead and launch Google Music without all four major labels.
By the way, I didn't know this. The email came from Nigel Tufnel.
What did I tell you? I guarantee you they're going to be the Christopher Guest.
I didn't know that, but that is hysterical.
No, they're definitely going to show up and
Google
perform.
Music is going to launch with only Spinal Tap songs.
Tom, I think it's Wednesday. I think 2 p.m. I think we should probably go live and stream that coverage. So there is a live stream at youtube.com/Android.
What's up with that? Right in the middle of Twig?
That's right.
Right in the middle of Twig. They know what they're doing.
I was thought they're scheduling.
So well, we'll just jump right in during Twig because that's our Google show.
Yeah, 1 o'clock
and an hour in, we'll jump into it. Universal is buying EMI, according to the Wall Street Journal. And this kind of surprises me, for $1.9 billion.
Hmm. Does that seem like a lot or a
Seems
little?
Low.
Yeah.
It's the Beatles catalog, among other things.
Does this mean?
But they're only buying the recorded music. The publishing is going to Sony.
So splitting it up. Okay, that makes sense. So they didn't get the publishing. They got the recording rights. Sony's paying $2.2 billion for the publishing. That's a lot. That's worth more. All right. Well, that makes it. That's interesting. Why? So EMI's getting out of the
music
business.
EMI, their capital owners went bust, and Citi got them in basically a default settlement. So Citi's been trying to find a buyer for a long time.
I might have buried the lead. Adobe this week announced that it's not going to put Flash on mobile platforms anymore. I got to get engaged the right side of the table.
Yeah, all you're doing is talking to Brushwood.
Sorry, my fault.
It's like you're in love with the guy.
Well, look at him.
You're just jealous, John.
John spurned is a dangerous thing.
I think this is interesting because if you give up the mobile platform, given the growth of the mobile platform, the importance of the mobile platform, aren't you really giving it all up? I mean, so what if they keep the desktop?
No, why don't you ask Brushwood?
Because I think you might have something germane and relevant to say.
Let him go on and on.
Oh, my God.
Enjoying my decaf.
I think we have a rivalry going off here.
You're going to shoot me next time I open my mouth.
I think part of the thing that people overlook is so many websites don't actually have a mobile version or a mobile platform. And it's like, on one hand, it's like Steve Jobs made it his personal goal to crush Flash.
And succeeded. I think he's doing a little turn.
I think it was. They have some issues with it on these ARM
chips. It doesn't work. It never did work.
Yeah.
Right.
So but it's giving up. They're going to support HTML5, and I think that's basically what's going to happen is HTML5 won.
Instead of, by the way, well, except it has problems doing, you know, syncing voice. It has all
kinds
of issues.
Well, there are issues. You're talking about WebM, the Google video
codec. All of the HTML5 has got problems. But I don't think that Steve won. I think Adobe won. They just held out. And now that Steve is gone, they say, okay, well, I guess he was right. But,
oh, my God.
You mean
we're
not giving up till Steve is dead? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just thinking it's a possibility. Is that sick? I don't know.
And let's be clear, they're not killing it on the desktop.
No, it's but that's only mobile. My point being, if you don't support it on any mobile device, and I'm a guy doing a website, if I'm YouTube, am I going to continue doing Flash in any form or fashion? No. I'm going to find an alternative so that my desktop, as you say, my desktop website looks fine on a mobile platform.
I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's funny because Mike Chambers, who I think is the I was reading an article a couple of days later. Mike Chambers, who's I think his title is the Principal Product Manager for Developer Relations for the Flash Platform at Adobe.
Oh, how do they fit that on a card?
I don't know. It's a big card. It's
on the back.
But he was like, he basically was like, clarifications on Flash Player for mobile browsers, the Flash Platform, and the future of Flash on his blog. And
how did he clarify this? Is there a future?
Well, it's kind of funny. First, he talks about the announcement, which is basically mobile applications created with Adobe Air.
Air?
Expressive content, particularly games and video in the browser on the desktop via the Flash Player. We are increasing the amount of resources towards HTML5 tools.
That's the truth.
Three, we are no longer going to be actively developing the Flash Player for mobile browsers. Quote, it is this last point which received the most attention, caused the most confusion, and essentially overshadowed all of the other information.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
he's trying to make you look at the other 2 points, but it doesn't change the fact that they are, after 11.1, which came out Friday, they are not going to be developing new Flash Players. Yeah. They'll continue to support that one for a while. Right. RIM said they're going to continue to develop a Flash Player, though.
I mean, basically, he said...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that.
That'll save BlackBerry.
That's a good one.
Like, that's who you want.
That'll save BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Reach, throw, rogue, go.
You know, actually, to be honest, that's what Google or Android developers are trying to do to save the Android tablet platform and say, well, we have Flash, we have Flash, we have Flash.
Well, that's no longer a big deal. Why did Adobe decide to no longer develop the Flash Player for mobile browsers? It's not getting the same ubiquity on mobile as it has on the desktop, the ubiquity of HTML5 on browsers, differences in how users consume rich content on mobile devices, scalability of developing plugins for mobile browsers, shifting some resources from Flash to HTML5.
That ubiquity argument pretty much says Apple won.
Yeah. If you're not on every mobile platform, you don't exist.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have won had iOS not been so successful in the marketplace. But once you have 150 million iOS devices that can't see Flash, you gotta respond.
And it's also a sign that Flash was built to do things that the web couldn't do. And now the web can do, and basically HTML, some HTML5 programmers.
The irony is HTML5, and our chat room is pointing this out, HTML5, says Web 590, really doesn't even exist. It's a nascent standard.
Right.
There's no solution for video right now. There is no HTML5. So Adobe's abdicating, but there's no Air to abdicate to.
Well, there's Adobe Air.
Yeah.
Yo!
Golly, is it time to end the show yet? No.
No. Not even close.
Enjoying it that
Still
much.
Still got to talk about Steam getting hacked. Modern Warfare 3, 6.5.
Steam got hacked. Skyrim. Awesome. Modern Warfare 3 or Skyrim?
Oh, I mean, as far as my heart goes, you talk about the Michael Bay movie made into a video game, or are you talking about the most richly detailed fantasy epic of my lifetime?
I'm with you on that exactly.
It is the most beautiful version of World of Warcraft I've ever played.
It's very similar. But isn't it weird to release in this day and age a non-online game?
Yeah, it is. And it's delightful because it's this whole world contained in your laptop.
And you don't have to worry about teenagers teabagging you.
That's true.
Which has always been a problem for me.
Well, not in the game.
Whoa. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wake you up. I'm sorry.
No, so, I will say that Skyrim is...
How do you like Tetris these days? Are you playing that or Bedazzled?
You know, it's funny you say that because the way you're going on and on about this, it's cool about the online game not being... Or it's not being online, but on a CD or whatever. It's what you're going to be saying. You're going to be quoted as saying probably within the next 5 years, you know, I think it's cool that someone will bring out a new magazine. It's in print. It's so handy.
Never happened.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, physical media is dead.
You said
mark
the same
my words.
Thing about games.
Look, I'm looking on the up band. Mark this time, whatever it is.
Is that thing still running?
Yeah, no.
It's 420.
420. Is it really?
It's 420. And mark my words, 420 on, what is the date? November 13th.
You're referring to marijuana is what you're doing, right?
Thank you, John.
Thanks, Dad.
Wait,
you're pointing that out.
Are you kids talking about marijuana?
I'm trying
again?
To keep up.
I can't read through your subtlety.
Thank goodness I got a big PC to hide behind.
Okay. You just hit the guy
not
from
the
Israel.
Audience.
Don't kill our audience. We really don't have enough to go around.
He's used to shots being taken.
Did you read this article in the New York Times by Claire Kane Miller about Google, about Larry Page, yeah. Google's chief executive, and the bloated ship that is Google?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
The bloated ship that is Google?
That's what the title is. Google's chief works to trim a bloated ship. Larry Page so hates wasting time at meetings, he once dumped his secretary to avoid being scheduled for them. This does not bode well. I think this is Larry Page trying to be the next Steve Jobs.
That's what the article's point is. Yeah, exactly.
He does not much like email either, even his own Gmail, saying the tedious back and forth. It just takes too long to solve problems.
He also decreed
that are bogus.
Hour-long meetings at Google should be 50 minutes to allow time for bathroom breaks in between.
You know what I think? You should have to do all meetings standing up.
This is like the Woody Allen movie Bananas, where the guy takes over, and next thing you know, you're supposed to wear your underwear on the outside so it can be inspected.
Well, here's what I think is right about this kind of...
You remember that character?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is actually a really good point in that great innovations are not born out of love. They're born out of hate. And Penn and Teller.
Wait a minute. Say that again, because that sounds profound, and it might not be, but I just want to hear it again.
Great innovations
I'm guessing
are
it's
born...
not.
Not out of love, but out of hate. And this advice comes from Teller of Penn & Teller, who wrote an article.
Who probably hates Penn because he never lets him talk.
Exactly. Who pointed out that let's say you have influences in magic and you love a certain type of performer. If you let that be your influence to develop what your act is going to be, the best you will be is a pale imitation of what you love.
Right.
But if you let hate be your driving factor, if you say, what do I hate about old media? What do I hate?
That's
about
actually my driving force.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You create something new.
This is
true.
You
filled with hate.
You hate. You're a hater.
I'm a hater.
You hated Tech TV. You hate the suits.
No, I didn't hate Tech TV. I hated what happened.
You hate the suits.
I hated G4.
You hated people telling you what to do.
Comcast. I hated Paul Allen. I hated the suits.
You couldn't wear the nice shirt you had.
I hated Patrick. I hated everybody.
So Patrick's beside the point.
Bringing it back to Larry Page, if what he does, if he hates.
Patrick and I were united in our hate.
Yes.
If what he hates is the awkward, slow process of email exchanges, that's where you get something like Google Docs, where real time everybody can make instant changes and collaborate on the fly. That is an innovation born of hate.
Page requires senior executives to show up at headquarters for informal face-to-face meetings at least once a week to plow through decisions. In one case where two senior vice presidents were fighting over email, he called us into his office and said, you will solve this difference before you leave the room.
Because he doesn't like long email threads. He's
right.
Like, fix
well,
it.
I mean, that's
for
actually,
person.
If it's him basically forcing people to deal with stuff quickly, fail quickly, or succeed quickly, rather than because the first couple lead graphs of this article makes it sound like Larry Page is shutting himself in his office and refusing to communicate. And then you get down farther, and it's basically like he's grabbing people and forcing them to do
He's cutting stuff fast. I think this is exactly what Google needs. He's kicking some butt. I don't know if it's coming out of hate. I think you're right, though, on that hate thing.
Well, as far as the innovations go now, and this is, and you know, I don't know anything about running a business, but let me pretend I do because I'm on Twit.
That's what we all do.
You have a company explode. You get very liquid. You suddenly have a lot of cash. You accrue a lot of assets so that you can secure your position, and then you start trimming the fat. And I think Google could be a bloated ship at this point.
It is, and I think
31,000 employees, $27.3 billion in revenue this year.
Remember what Andy Grove said: only the paranoid survive. I mean, the people who have done well in this business have been always looking over their shoulder, right, John, and always saying we got to be better and kicking some butt.
So what do you do?
I'm terrified. Well, so did you see what Logitech did with the Google TV? They said,
Oh, brother.
There are some killer quotes here.
That was Logitech's new CEO throwing the old CEO and Google.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Good point. Yes.
It was basically like, we bet the farm on Google TV. Google TV was a mess. We lost $100 million. By the way, I'm not the guy who made that decision.
Gerald P. Quinlan championed the review. He stepped down in July.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
The new CEO, Guerino De Luca, took over. De Luca is the guy who said all this stuff about this was a disaster, a big mistake, cost the company $100 million in operating profits, and we're not going to make another one for a long time.
You know what's
time.
Ironic? It might be just as Google TV actually gets good.
Exactly.
That's the funny thing.
And that's the part that really upset me, because when I've seen the Logitech review in action, I really like what it almost does. And I'm excited for the next generation, but if they're going to just set fire to the whole thing.
Well, I think that 3.1, or is it Honeycomb or Ice Cream Sandwich? It's Honeycomb they're going to put on it.
Yeah. Honeycomb is the one
they're putting it on the Sony.
It's on Sony's right now. Right. It's coming to the review.
And
the
that gives me the market, right? The Android market. Suddenly, right. This becomes a very compelling machine.
Well, but the problem, and we've talked about this on FrameRate,
it's a web TV at this point.
It is a web TV.
I perceive it as being an underpowered device. I don't want to download Android apps onto something that's not going to
work. Here's the folks at Plex ported Plex to it, and they said we were very pleasantly surprised. It had not only had enough horsepower to play all the videos we threw at it, it had most of the codecs, even obscure ones that we didn't expect, that we thought we'd have to support somehow. He said it's a surprisingly good platform for Plex, which means it's a good platform for a home theater. Right. Device. I think,
but again, they're not selling it on that. They're selling it on Angry Birds.
They were selling it as being like this place where you would watch TV and there would be a web element. And then they started it, and all the major media companies went, "You didn't give us a cut. You didn't sign us a check. You didn't make a deal with us. We're going to block your device."
Yeah, but you know what? I have one, and that wasn't why I stopped using it. Right. I didn't care about not getting NBC.com streaming video. The reason I stopped using it is it was buggy. And it didn't stream video very well, and the interface was a little hard to navigate and move around in, and I just liked the Roku better. The Roku was simple and easy to use.
My friend Kate actually uses it obsessively because it allows her to do one thing she's always wanted to do, browse the internet on the television,
on top of
email
the screen.
And stuff,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
On the screen, and it's incredibly effective for that. I'm sure the software update will ruin that for her.
Tablet's a better answer for that kind of thing.
Well, she didn't want to use a tablet.
I love it that HP had a meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Who had a meeting?
I love that's all you needed to say.
HP had an all-hands meeting.
Oh, all-hands.
To tell the people who work in the web OS division, they're not really sure what they're going to do.
Why do you need a meeting for that?
Well, actually, I can relate to this because we spent the last, 2.5 years at Tech TV looking around going like, yeah, we're going to be sold or they're going to fold us.
Right.
So maybe we're going to be here in 2 years. Or maybe we're going to hit the curve in the hockey stick and we'll be profitable.
Every All Associates meeting was Michaela Pereira going, by the way, where are we going? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good question.
Whatever happened to the stock options
promised? We'll answer that next time.
Meg Whitman says, if HP decides to keep WebOS, we're going to do it in a significant way over a multi-year period. But then again, maybe not.
So that's not a reason for a meeting.
She said something about not wanting to rush to a decision, but then it was all about time with the personal systems group decision. So.
Right. She says it's not exactly obvious what to do. What would you do with WebOS?
All about, like, we need this group to leverage better deals for the stuff we actually want to keep. And if we keep selling PCs, we get better deals for all the parts for the stuff we actually make decent profits on.
Right. Well, it made sense to keep the PC.
I would make it open source.
That's exactly the right answer. Congratulations.
You're welcome.
That's what I was looking for. Give it away. If you're not going to do anything with it, open source
it. Well, I think they should do it in the way that Netscape did with the Mozilla deal. They didn't quite give the whole thing away.
Mm-hmm. Well, and continue to develop WebOS stuff, but benefit from the open source development.
Right.
I think that's what Jean-Louis Gasset should have done with BOS. So he said that at that event on Wednesday night, at the computer museum, he said, it's a good thing Apple didn't buy me. But yeah, you know, in hindsight, it was a good thing they bought Next and got Steve Jobs. That was a good thing. But I think that it's a shame when you see these great products like BOS and OS WebOS, OS2, open source them, give them to the community, let them see what they can
I've
do.
I've thrown the OS2 thing out at IBM.
He loves OS2.
Tell me that. Well, you know, the reason is they have all these little.
It's proprietary. That's
they
the
got
problem.
A bunch of little code that they bought.
Exactly.
And this and that.
You can't do it.
Apparently wouldn't work.
What is WebOS based on? Is it from the ground up and
yeah, from Palm.
It's not based on a Linux variant.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's a kernel in there or anything. Yeah. I don't know.
I think that'd be brilliant if they actually open sourced it exactly along the model of the Mozilla Foundation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You had an actual open source operating system, not an operating system that is run somewhat openly and occasionally open source.
Right, an open source. And the people that use WebOS or who were developing for it, because I can kind of tell about the relative importance of various things by the hate mail. So I'd make a casual comment in a column.
I may be wrong, but I think some of the best inventions of the world are driven not by love, but by hate mail.
You know,
hate mail comes in, and the guys read me the Riot Act about how I'm full of crap about the WebOS, and it's this, and it's that, and it's this.
Jared says WebOS is based on the Linux kernel.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
God damn it.
It is?
Well, then when are we going to get away
everything
from the
we
Linux
said is
kernel?
Wrong.
So you just got to open source everything, the rest of WebOS. That's
right.
It makes it easier.
Wait a minute. If it's based on open source, if it's based on the Linux kernel, which GPL is it? Because maybe it is open source anyway by law.
By law.
Let's investigate.
This needs investigation. Well, that killed the conversation.
Shall we take another break?
Yeah, let's take a break. Who's our last commercial?
Well, it's time to thank our lovely sponsors. Squarespace.
Oh, I love squarespace.com/. Whoa.
Oh, nice
John,
shot.
Don't shoot Eileen.
Rebound.
I think he was aiming for Scoble.
Heck. I hope he got Scoble.
I was aiming
no,
for
I think
Scoble.
He got Eileen. Eileen, got ladies it. And gentlemen, Eileen Rivera, our producer and the host of All About Android.
Woo, huzzah.
Hot.
Which, by the way, if you're wondering about Google TV, we have a great review on our last episode, episode 33.
Did Ron do that? Who did
Ron
that?
Ron did the review. He got it on his Sony Blu-ray player, and yeah. He did a walkthrough for us, and it looks pretty good.
I'm a fan. I'm excited about it, and... I actually reconnected my Logitech review, which I had disconnected, because I'm waiting for this 3.1, and I think it could be huge. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about Squarespace.com, the secret behind exceptional websites. Now, everybody asks me, what's the best web host? They're always looking for good web hosts. I say it's very difficult to sort the wheat from the chaff. The best thing to do is go to somebody that's going to have reliable service, lots of uptime, and give you the software you need to run on top of it. You know, I should just say Squarespace, because really, that's it. Squarespace is hosting, the best hosting out there. You cannot bring a Squarespace site down. We try and we try. We are able to bring sites down. Never can we do it with Squarespace. But in addition, you get this incredible software. You know, lots of web hosting companies have Site Builder, and they just look awful. Every site looks the same. They're broken. Not Squarespace. The templates alone... Beautiful designer templates, hundreds of them. You also get, for if you're a blogger, seamless blog importing, which allows you... Where'd it go? It went away here. Let me go back to my Squarespace. Which allows you to take your existing WordPress template, or rather content, blogger content, TypePad content, and just import it in and export it right back out as soon as you... Did we bring Squarespace down?
Just now?
No. Okay. Scared me for a minute there. I've been doing this commercial. I've been trying to bring it down for like 3 weeks. And I'm just waiting for Anthony and Dane to say, would you stop that? Every time Twit's on, we know we get this spike in traffic. No, you really can't. WordPress, TypePad, Blogger, and movable type import, which makes it very easy to get your existing site over to Squarespace. And here's the deal. You can do this for free for 2 weeks, all the features. So it's a great way to try Squarespace, see how you like it, design a site around it. 2 weeks, you don't need a credit card or anything. Just go to the Squarespace site and click the Try It Free button. And then if you decide to buy very affordable sites as low as $12 a month, that's hosting plus the best software in the world. And I can even make that better, because if you use the offer code TWIT11 when you check out, you'll get 20% off for the first 6 months. So it really is a very good deal. Squarespace.com. Check it out. Fantastic stuff. I'm a huge fan.
I've had a few examples of people emailing me saying that they have used Squarespace in a business place to make a website for the business, walk up and sell them. Like, here, I created a website for you.
Because you could do that with the free two-week trial.
And you just hand it over.
And you just give them the keys, in effect. Yeah, Alex Lindsay did that. He was at a restaurant they really liked, and he said, "What's your website?" And they said, "We don't have a website." He said, "You do now. Let me just quickly set this up." He gave it to him. That's a great idea.
Did he get free food?
I don't know, but you know what, folks? This is a good thing you can do for your friends and people you know, the businesses you love. If they don't have a site, set it up, use a try it free button, then just hand them the password and say, it's yours. You know, use it if you want.
And give them the offer code, too.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, that's a good idea. Give them the TWIT11 offer code, yeah. TWIT11. Thank you, Squarespace. We are, you know, I hope that at some point we're going to be able to use a Squarespace facility in New York because we want to do a TWIT in New York thing, and that would be really fun to do.
Well, you're going to open up a TWIT office, you think?
No.
Maybe I could get a place.
I know you wanted a place to live, but this was just a road trip, but maybe someday. Poor John.
You can come on the road trip.
John, you really, if we had a studio in New York and we had a cot for you, like in a corner.
Hope it would be more than a cot. Although, well, I've been to some hotels in New York, and that's kind of what you get.
Hey, if I guaranteed no bed bugs, now how much would you pay? Now I'm talking.
Is that really such a real thing, or is that
a
hysteria?
I think it's hysteria.
Yeah.
I don't know. Chat room, how many of you have been bitten by bed bugs?
Okay. Well, and that's the problem. It's
Bedbugregistry.com is a website that has all the hotels registered, and they tell them how many
it's where the bed bugs want all their marriage gifts.
Never. Wait a minute. DV1 band has.
It's Hunter real. Jones. Never. Yes.
My mom thought she had bed bugs. It turned out it was dust beetles.
Not the same thing.
Not the same thing. And the exterminator said, yeah, we get that a lot because there's a lot of hysteria over the bed bug thing, but it's really not a common problem.
Just like communists.
That's what I thought. Have you now or have you ever been a card-holding bed bug? Did you see what Google Kane? Herman Kane. See how well it's working?
Google Kane.
That's what his friends call it.
I would vote for a president named Google Kane.
I would change your
name to Google Kane, and then you got my vote, sir.
Google
you, sir,
free
have
money
my vote.
Is my candidate. Yeah.
Google free
president.
Money. No, Herman Kane, you know, he's having this problem because people are searching for the names of the women that have gone public now in the accusations of harassment. What did they do? Very smart. They bought the search results for these names, and well, I'll give you an example.
It tells you to vote for Herman Cain.
It does. So I'll do a search right now. We'll go to google.com, and I'll do a search for Herman Cain and the name of the woman who he was. Look at this. Truth about Herman Cain. Get past the lies and allegations. Support Herman Cain. Very smart. Now, I have to say, given what he's done with social media, this guy may be the most savvy candidate out there in terms of that.
Somebody working for him.
Well, he has. He actually has hired very good people working for him. And you know what they've done, I think, is they've managed to kind of raise the suspicion that this may not be true by putting those ads right there at the top. Whether it's true or not, that's what you want to do, right?
And you see this with a lot of hucksters. And I don't want to put Herman Cain in that category necessarily. But like, for example, there are social media experts. There are motivational speakers, these people who do like...
Well, it's controlling your reputation.
For example, if you do a search for Asahi Berry, I don't know how you spell it, A-C-A-I Berry, you'll notice that the autocomplete...
You probably use that because you look so young.
It puts the word scam.
It's a Brazilian berry from the Amazon.
And then when you look it up, if you know, Asahi Berry scam, the first things will all be advertised.
Oh, look at that. Your acai didn't work? You want to know why? I've got a provenproduct.com. Right. Acai berry, lose weight and boost your energy. So this is good. This is a battle. A Google. You know who wins? You know who wins here?
Google.
Yep.
Google make money pants.
Google make.
Nobody's buying any keyword searches on my search for my name.
No. You could, though, Tom. It's not too
late.
That's
when you know you've made it.
Do a bid. Do a bid.
You've made what, Tom?
Yeah, you made what?
Yeah, a best of life.
I would actually love to get your take on this one because I'm not sure what I believe on this. So, as you know, WikiLeaks, big issue going on right now about trying to figure out who is, you know, kind of supporting WikiLeaks. An Icelandic member of parliament and former WikiLeaks volunteer, Birgitta Jonsdottir, her Twitter account was handed over by a U.S. judge on Thursday because of this the release of the U.S. military helicopter friendly fire incident. Now, she says, and this is what I'd like to know. Maybe, John, you could comment. This is a huge blow for everybody that uses social media. We have to have the same civil rights online as we have offline. Imagine if U.S. authorities wanted to do a house search at my home in Iceland to go through my private papers. There'd be a hell of a fight. It's absolutely unacceptable. She's tweeting on Twitter. They want to see what her Twitter account has.
And they didn't get the content. They only got the timing and who she sent the direct messages to.
Because she was using DMs.
Yeah. Right.
It's a private company.
They can do whatever they want.
And what is the merit to her argument? I mean, after all, isn't it kind of foolish to be using Twitter to DM stuff?
Well, I mean,
it's a U.S. company, so I guess her argument partly is that she's an Icelandic citizen.
Another example why you shouldn't trust U.S. companies is what it amounts to.
Or any
this seems
company.
To me, if you, I mean, this is what, one of the big fears that they have when Google says, let's put Gmail, like, you know, like certain governments in Canada say, we're not going to do our Canadian, you know, provincial email using Google. It's like the U.S.
it's
government
it,
just gives
it. Handing it over. Now, the interesting thing is there was not a search warrant. They used a 1994 law called the Stored Communications Act. They asked for bank account details, users' names, screen names, other identities, mailing and other addresses, but no search warrant was awarded nor asked for.
I like the fact you looked over at me because, you know, this is one of my big beefs.
I know, you're a libertarian.
I'm a big proponent of the Fourth Amendment, and I think it's definitely unconstitutional in that Fourth Amendment, there's no equivocation that it clearly says the only way you go, the government goes looking through your stuff. And of course, you know, obviously they didn't envision the internet back in the day, but the only way the government goes through your stuff is when a judge writes a warrant for it. And that's, I got a problem.
That's not true. If the guys voluntarily hand it over to the government.
That's true. Yeah.
Why are you holding up your phone, Patrick?
Because actually
just tapped his phone as we speak.
that's been there for a while.
I've just been pwned.
But if you get pulled over, if you get arrested, they take your phone.
They take everything off.
Some states they can, some states they can't. That law is not settled yet. It's been settled.
So the judge ruled that the Twitter users voluntarily are turning over their IP addresses when they sign up for an account and relinquish any expectation of privacy.
Yeah, that is, and it is true. The private company, they've got their usage license agreements, and they can have in their provisions saying, like, we'll give your information to anyone or any government that asks for that kind of thing. That's not necessarily a constitutional issue. But the one that really drives me nuts, and this is also on the dock, is the Supreme Court's question about whether it's okay to be, without a warrant, go into somebody's driveway inside their garage and attach a GPS device to cars, because the argument... Of course, being
you
like
have to go in their garage.
Well,
just
I mean,
go in the driveway.
Well,
unfortunately, they actually driveway. Apparently have been going into driveways and garages on private property to do it.
That's well in the discussion in the article that's in the doc. It mentions specifically inside garages, but they're saying that the expectation of privacy that you have inside your house is not the same as the expectation of privacy in the driveway.
Right.
The idea being, well, attaching a GPS is pretty much the same as assigning an officer to follow you around everywhere you go. So we're just going to walk up and attach this to your car, and we don't need a warrant.
It's no different than following you.
Yeah, well, and first
of all,
it
just helps us.
It is. I mean, because by that logic, why not go ahead and throw one in every person?
Now, the Supreme Court is hearing this right now, so we don't know what the court's going to do.
Right.
Because different courts have ruled differently on that one as well. Some say, you got no expectation of privacy when you're driving around. They can stick something on your car if they want. Others have said, no, attaching something to your car, that's your private property. They can't do that without a warrant.
You know what galls me about this is that if you spot the thing and take it and just keep it, you know, the device.
Do they send you a bill?
They come over and they demand it back and they take it to court. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
But you gave it to me.
That's what I see.
You gave it to me. You came in my house and gave me a gift.
A dog.
So Justice Breyer said,
this is the GPS one.
Right? In the GPS case. If you win this case, there's nothing to prevent the police or government. By the way, you cannot decide how a case is going to go from the questioning
I've
learned.
No, of course.
It's fascinating to listen to these back and forths that go on in the Supreme Court. But Breyer said, if you win this case, there's nothing to prevent the police or government from monitoring 24 hours a day every citizen in the United States.
Yeah, it's what they want to do. It makes the crime solving a lot easier.
It does. I mean, and that's the thing. There really are policemen out there
who
honestly believe, you know what, we need this to catch the bad guys because the bad guys have the advantage and they're right. The question is, do we release our rights in order to catch some bad guys?
Never.
Well, and that's,
then Ben Franklin was very clear about that.
Yeah. Trade a little bit of liberty for security, you'll receive neither.
Yeah. Chief Justice Roberts, not the most liberal member of the court, wondered whether the government's... I love this. He asked the government attorney, is it your position that you could secretly attach GPS devices to the cars of, let's say, the 9 members of the Supreme Court without a warrant?
Well, this is also the Supreme, you know, I mean, how long ago was it that the Supreme Court was like, yeah, you can take private property to increase the tax revenues of a county in you know, use eminent domain to take property to increase the tax revenues, you know, of a city in Connecticut. And somebody basically put together a brilliant idea about taking one of the Chief Justice's property in Vermont and turning it into a motel because it would increase the amount of, you know, what the Supreme Court once done to them may or may not have anything to do with what they're doing.
I do think the argument is reasonable. They Justice Sotomayor said, well, could you put a computer chip in somebody's overcoat? And they said, no, you can't do that because that's going to go in their house. They say that a car parked in the
garage. On the street, hey, buddy, slap.
Yeah, but then they might go in their house. So what they're saying is, they're saying a car parking garage does not have a reasonable expectation of privacy, that we're only going to follow you where your car goes, which is essentially public thoroughfares.
And that's why I said they're not breaking into your garage. They're not going into your house. They're saying, but I can still
it's
track
a bad trend.
Well, obviously, we don't.
Besides, that's going to be taken care of with the drones eventually. They'll be all over the place. There'll be one, like, hanging out here.
Wait a minute. Are you crackpot or buzzkill? I'm sure. I'm sorry.
Just saying.
Okay. Black helicopters?
No, just little drones. You don't even need the big ones. You can have the ones that give the camera. It can be right there.
60,000 feet.
And by the way,
tracking your every movement.
You know, just throw a net over them. Quickly grab the GPS device, rip that out, take the antenna off, and then you have a nice little machine.
There's parallels between this and the Twitter case, right? Because it's all about expectation of privacy.
In the Twitter case,
the expectation of privacy is like it's a direct message. I have to log in to see it, right? And the court said, no, you gave your IP address to Twitter. And what they're asking for is that IP address and what they connected with it. And when you gave that IP address to Twitter, you made it public because you gave it to a third party.
It's probably in
the
EULA.
So you no longer have expectation of privacy anymore because somebody else saw it. Yeah. So you should know that since Twitter has it, other people might get it as well. And the same thing here. Your car's in your garage. I could have sat across the street and seen you drive your car into the garage. So you should have no expectation of privacy there because people from the outside can see your car's in the garage.
I have to say, I don't disagree with their argument, but it does worry me that it's a slippery slope.
It's a total slippery slope. But I'm dead. But the drones will be the same thing. I mean,
doesn't matter.
Drones all over the place.
They have no expectation of privacy because we can fly a drone.
Don't think?
Hey, I'm still
they
pissed
already
about,
have them over the
I'm
border
still pissed
in Texas.
About the Patriot Act. Okay, it's
all
a
part
mess.
Of the Patriot.
Will Dish Network become your next ISP? Dish Network wants to deploy its hybrid satellite network using LTE. Bringing broadband to every American within view of the Dish satellite. They want to use the 2 gigahertz spectrum to do this.
They own that.
They own it. They've written a letter to the FCC asking for permission to do this.
Isn't this like lights? What's the difference?
It's light squared.
Wants to do a wholesale version of this. I'm not sure if Dish wants to do this wholesale or not. I hope they do because that's what we need. The biggest difference
it's on a different
is light
frequency.
Squared spectrum is right next to the GPS spectrum.
Right.
Nobody's been using that. So the GPS industry has been bleeding over into the light squared spectrum for years. And now that light squared wants to use it, the GPS industry is squealing that it causes interference.
It does.
So light squared, and it does. So light squared said, we'll use
hams.
Half of the spectrum,
then
that'll make it easier for you to adapt to us using it. The nice thing about Dish is they're using spectrum that doesn't interfere with anybody.
It's way up at 2 gigahertz.
But what we need is this. We need somebody providing satellite-based LTE with Sprint on the ground doing repeaters, which Sprint is contracted with LightSquared, doing wholesale dumb pipes. We need a business that says want to be the dumb
somebody
pipe.
Somebody get Tom on the board of directors.
What about latency, though? I mean, aren't we going to have latency with the uplinks?
Yeah. No, won't have the latency because you've got the ground repeater station.
So that solves the latency
Sprint
issue.
Sprint is ready to do this for LightSquared. I don't see why they wouldn't do it for Dish, too. What it does is it increases coverage.
I love this.
Seems that he's been on this topic.
He's been See, this is why...
This is the solution to net neutrality. We get a couple of
competition.
People providing a wholesale dumb pipe, and you can have 100 million ISPs out there, and you get to pick an ISP instead of having to have the FCC.
So their plan is,
toothless guidelines.
When you say dumb pipe, their plan is to let many companies use it. They're just going to do infrastructure.
They're saying, we're just going to charge by the bit rate.
I agree.
You can do whatever you want on it.
This is fantastic. So let's make this happen.
Because LightSquared is getting kicked in the teeth by the FCC, and Save Our GPS has been beating on LightSquared with a stick.
So this solves the problem.
No, it means there's going to be solving the problem is having two organizations competing for my business, having one organization that can blanket, you know.
I think Tom's point is if they sell it as wholesale bit.
Right.
then you'll have multiple internet service providers floating on top of it, which will give us competition.
Ideally, you'd have multiple wholesalers, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But one wholesaler is better than no wholesalers, which is what we got now. And you can see the hands of the carriers feeding that Save GPS movement because they want to beat LightSquared into a pulp.
You bet. That's a good story. We'll follow that. And that's one of the reasons that I think it's great to watch TNT Monday through Friday, because Tom really keeps up on these stories, unlike me. And he has the he understands these subjects, unlike me, and brings some real gravitas and depth to the enterprise, unlike me. So TNT, 2:30, he's going to replace me soon. 2:30 to 3:30.
He doesn't have the voice.
No. In fact, all I have is the voice.
Yeah, but that the voice is...
Well, the voice goes a long way.
It's slightly hypnotic.
And it is hypnotic.
1% of the voice is 99%
of the job.
And
my boyish good looks.
Let's not forget the voice, anyway.
True. And the fact that I have a GPS in your garage.
That could be. Yeah. So what?
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank this fabulous panel, starting with John C. Dvorak. We didn't expect him. We didn't want him, but he came anyway.
That's pretty much it.
No. We love John C., and he's the greatest. We love John, and it's so good to have you. ChannelDvorak.com. And don't forget, in the morning, it's NoAgendaShow.com. I think that's awesome. I wish I could credit whoever made those deck of cards.
We'll give him credit on the No Agenda Show. NoAgendaShow.com.
Yeah, I just appeared in my mailbox one day. Mm. And maybe they sent it to me thinking I would give it to you. I often get mail because they saying, "Would you give this to John?" Like, I see you all the time or something.
Well, you do. You see me once in a while.
Usually unexpected.
And Eileen would store the mail in there.
She'll store it for you. Store and forward.
Rivera,
we call her. John is the best. Great to have you. We didn't get you a bottle of wine, but we'll pick one out and you can have it on the way out.
Okay.
All right. Also, Patrick Norton, love having you. Take as much black coffee as you want. Yes. It's all yours. Patrick, of course, the host of Techzilla with the beautiful Veronica Belmont, who is getting ready.
She's coming here.
Look at that. Look at that.
So you realize, real quick, Veronica, can you come on screen for just a second? Because
look at this great T-shirt she's wearing, I love this T-shirt.
We were shooting Scam School, and Patrick made it out, and I realized that now that you guys have been co-hosts for years, and now we're co-hosts, we're now co-hosts-in-law. Me and
Benora.
That's much better
than
the other thing you said that I was like, what?
Notice where she's standing, though. I just want to point out.
Well, I haven't worked on my relationship.
No, that's
not true. You have to slowly warm up.
Getting to know each other. It's very...
Patrick and Veronica, they host Techzilla. Yeah. It is a great show. Techzilla.com. TEKZILLA. You must
watch. Brought John Wine.
Must watch.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Tom Merritt, I already gave you
a
plug.
She's got the rest of it.
But, wait, you know what?
Twit.tv/TNT.
Tom does a great show with Veronica called Sword and Laser Pointer. And I just love that.
Wait, Sword and Laser Pointer?
Sword and Laser Pointer.
I didn't even think about this.
And it's just,
how many shows does this woman do?
How many shows do you do? You do a lot of shows.
Only three now.
Three now.
Yeah.
We cut back. Uh-huh. So you're going to do Game On, Sword and Laser.
Yeah. And Techzilla.
Yeah. That's great. But Techzilla is a big show. So that's a lot of work.
They're all big enough.
Sword and Laser.
So, Tom, you're also co-host-in-law.
With Frank.
Run, exactly what I said.
This is creepy. Get out of town as fast as you can.
Now, they don't do Top 5 at Revision 3 anymore.
No, that has been put on hiatus.
That's a shame, because I like that show. Business. But you are doing something great, which is this news in tech.
This
news in tech day.
Tech history today?
The tech history today, thank you.
You know that's on Twit.
What? Really? When did we start that? No, we love that show. And you can watch it on YouTube, but you can also subscribe if you want to get it every day.
Yeah, twit.tv/THT. Lin Fu is the editor, does a great job illustrating it. So watch the video version.
I didn't know Lin edited that.
Yeah.
Well done.
And she has got a sense for putting the right stuff up there to go along with it.
She's, she is what we call a utility player, because she also planned this barbecue.
I know.
And didn't she do a great job putting this together? Thank you, everybody, for coming to the barbecue. We really appreciate it. Brian Brushwood and Veronica Belmont are going to do our first run-through of Game On, our brand-new show. Woo-hoo! We're going to do that in just a few minutes, so please stick around if you can. And I guess all that remains is for me to say that we do this show every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That would be 2300 UTC at twit.tv. Please tune in. You can watch us live and be in the chat room, and we talk back to you. Or if you miss it, you get a copy of it at twit.tv. We offer all our shows in audio and high-quality video. Are we going to do an HD version of this week as well?
I believe so, yes.
We did our first 720p download of last week's episode with Baratunde and Nick Bilton and Joshua Topolsky. And it was a great show to start with. It was a great show in general, but it looked so good. So if you haven't seen that, download that one. And I guess we'll do this one in 720p. Is that the plan from now on? Wow. Yeah, wow is right, because I got to tell you, the size is 1.6 gigabytes, and I'm a little nervous about the bandwidth. That's why we want to talk to the folks at BitTorrent. I think at some point we'll set up a BitTorrent tracker and server and do this on BitTorrent as well. That way we don't have to worry about the file size. Thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, we are going to take the week after Christmas off, and we invite you to pick the best moments from the year's Twits or any of our shows by going to twit.tv/best of. You don't have to know the time code or just, you know. Helps.
Just say that moment where.
Yeah. It will help. If the more you give us, the better.
If you want to see it in the show, find the time code. That's awesome.
Lin Fu can only do so much, my friends. Twit.tv/best of. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Another twit is in the can. Thank you, everybody.
Huzzah.
This is wonderful amazing. Show.